scratch about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Pick a number in your mind, don't tell me.
5.
Oh, I said don't tell me.
Oh, okay.
You have a number?
4.
In your mind.
Okay.
You have a number?
2.
In your mind, I said.
Oh, okay.
Don't tell me. You
okay.
Keep it in your head.
Okay. Come on, Sam. The show's sucking so far.
And away we go.
Yeah, you know what? I appreciate you trying to teach me, man. But I mean, I don't twit. You know, I don't face page. I don't stream unless I'm peeing.
And now I did it for the bitches.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, the 21st of July.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bede. How are you?
Don't ever, ever go away again.
Missed you.
It's no fun. It's no fun when Lisa May's gone.
I'm sure you had fun.
Little. I mean, just barely.
Yeah. The little that you could manage.
Just barely.
Though. Yeah.
Good vacation?
It was a good vacation, yeah.
Did you go scuba diving, did you
I
say?
Did. Yeah. I in Key West.
Yeah.
We dove up at Vandenberg, which was awesome. You can swim. They actually let you swim, you know, inside some of
that's awesome.
The holds and stuff. And it was very cool.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Do you have a savage tan?
No.
No.
I try really hard not to do that. I have a savage bruise on the back of my calf. It's about a foot long. A tank fell off the clip in the
boat.
That's
what you're telling people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm telling people.
All right.
Long as or acrobatic story. Vacation sex. One of the two things.
One or the other.
Have it. Well, it's good to have you back, Lisa.
Thank you.
And you came back on a great day because we have a tremendous show today. But before we get started, Kevin, I'm sure you were watching the British Open yesterday. I know you're all about the golf.
Nope.
Oh, wait, that's right. Rory McIlroy won the British Open. He has become quite the sensation in the golf world yesterday. He is already three quarters of the way toward winning the Grand Slam in golf. Yesterday, he won the British Open. He had previously won the U.S. Open, and he still needs the Masters. I know that. And then he won whatever the fourth one is. So he's a sensation. Great golfer. In fact, has been a great golfer since he was a little kid, just like, you know, Tiger Woods and other professional athletes. He showed early promise. He was on the Ryder Cup team, the junior Ryder Cup team in Britain when he was 15 years old. And at that time, his father decided to place a bet on him that he would win the British Open within 10 years.
Who takes
you can do
a
that?
Bet like that?
Ladbrokes is the name of the betting house in Britain that did take the bet. And it's so interesting because everybody has these dreams that their children are going to grow up and be exceptional. Very rarely do you see a parent who goes, he's 6 now, but one day he's going to be a Pizza Hut manager.
Yeah, that's true.
One day he's going to be laying cones for Caltrans. I mean, everybody imagines their kids are going to be, number one, pop singers, or they're going to walk on the moon, or they're going to, you know, cure AIDS. Everybody believes in their children like that. Very few are willing to put cash down on it to actually accomplish those sorts of things.
Well, I mean, and part of the reason for that is because even if this kid is a genius golfer at 6, the chances that he's going to continue being genius and continue with that passion and can, you know, follow through and actually win a tournament are just ridiculous.
Well, 500-1 is the answer that you're looking
for.
That's the number that's how much the odds were on the bet that he placed when his son was 15 years old. He put down £200, which is about $341 at the time, that his son would win the British Open before he was 26. He won it yesterday, and the payout for Rory McIlroy's father was $171,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
It's not bad for a few days' work, right?
That's crazy.
His son,
the pressure he put on his son.
Yeah, no
get
kidding.
Get back out there and practice.
A lot of people were asking about that pressure. Rory, in an interview with ESPN, said the bet was not exactly a regular conversation topic at the dinner table. He never reminded me of it. I knew that he had done it, but he didn't make a big deal about it. By the way, Rory won, how much did he win? I think it was $1.66 million. For winning the British Open. So Dad got a nice little bonus, though.
Yeah.
Rory and Dad got paid.
Dad also was so confident of his son's ability that he talked two of his friends into placing bets the previous, the next year in 2005. And those bets paid out his friends $136,000.
That's crazy.
So winners all around. Yeah. Good guy to know. But that's a pretty cool story, I think, that somebody had that kind of faith in their kid and it actually worked out for everybody. I like that.
What we don't know is how many parents put that kind of bet on their kids and then they fell through. That we don't know.
It's funny you should bring that up. Let me see. I do have that somewhere.
Really?
Ladbrokes takes more than 300 of those bets a year where parents bet a kid is a future star. And what do you want to bet that most of them are that they grow up and play soccer, right?
Yeah. Right.
I bet that's true. I know I've seen stories like that. One bet usually comes through every couple of years. A spokesperson for Ladbrokes told ESPN, "We can make a lot of money, but it's a big risk if one comes through. Unfortunately, on this one, we have egg on our face. Rory's father and his friends are having champagne on us tonight." So, a happy ending.
That's pretty sweet. All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
Wait, the wildest is yet to come.
We have comedian Gabriel Iglesias on the program today.
Oh, very
Fluffy.
Cool.
Fluffy. We have Bugs, you are going to feel so thin today when he comes in.
Hope so.
You're also going to feel not funny when he comes in. So that's going to happen as well. Apparently, Kevin's Trailer Park is happening on today's show.
Oh,
well,
it is
the summer movie season, and it's nice to try to help our listeners decide what they'll like. If they like loud movies like you, it's good for them to hear that.
Harvey Levin from TMZ will be on the program today. Chip, the band killer, is going to be on the show today. Chip,
oh, not again.
Chip is a bass player, and she has had, I don't know, three or four different bands in the last couple of years.
Yes.
And everyone she's in just explodes.
And what I think is fascinating, and we'll talk to her about this in a few minutes, my understanding is it's not like they fire her. They break up for good.
Yeah.
The band is shattered. It cannot go on after Chip steps up and just plucks one bass string.
Yeah, I don't understand exactly what's going on with that, but she's going on Craigslist. I don't know.
A band?
This is going to turn out ugly quick. That's all I know.
Oh, man.
Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy talking about the game this week with Manchester United, and a little band by the name of Weezer will be in our studios.
Sweet.
It's 7:15 to world premiere a new song for you.
Oh, that's great.
So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. How you doing, Ralph?
Comic-Con week. It's Comic-Con week.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to tell us.
Bean was just
saying. We have our long-standing reservations down there every year, as you know.
Yeah. Bean was just saying how excited he is to travel and come down to it.
By excited, you mean, is there a chance it's going to be canceled? Ah, can't wait. It's very exciting as we kick off Comic-Con week. Let's talk about the movies at the box office over the weekend, as we do on a Monday morning. Top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was the weekend winner yet again. Made another $36 million this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, did very well for itself. Right behind that was The Purge Anarchy, the Purge sequel. Did $28.4 million. So not right behind it, but pretty close.
Not bad.
For number two. Then Planes, Fire and Rescue, in its debut, did $18 million. Sex Tape, in its debut, did $15 million. And Transformers Age of Extinction came in at number five with another $10 million to those coffers. Tammy was sixth. 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Maleficent, and Earth to Echo were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Tragic news over the weekend for big-time fans like myself of actor James Garner. Star, of course, of The Rockford Files, one of the most popular TV shows on television in the 70s and 80s. Also Maverick, back in the 60s. A movie star in his own right with The Notebook that he was in, and Murphy's Romance, and Victor Victoria. One of those guys who was never a huge star, but always sort of a presence in our lives. He was always on television in the movies, always turned in a great performance, and by all accounts, just a terrific guy, too. He marched for civil rights in the 60s, fought for actors' rights in the 70s and 80s, took on major corporations like Universal Studios and sued them when they owed him money and won those cases. He was a stand-up guy and a two-time awarded the Purple Heart for his service in the Korean War as well.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, an all-around good guy and great actor, and passed away this weekend in his home in Los Angeles at the age of 86.
Was anyone cooler than him on television in the 1970s, Ralph?
Boy, you'd be hard-pressed. And he was cool without being cool, you know? He never played guys who were, like, slick or whatever.
No.
He was the private detective who got his ass beat every week.
Yeah.
And lived in a trailer, and he was just, like, this regular guy. And I think that's why people loved him so much. But he was a great actor, too. He didn't get a lot of credit for that because I think he always seemed to be so natural and didn't look like he was working very hard when he was acting. But, boy, was he talented, so... Sad news that he passed away.
He was one of those actors that you would watch and think, I could do that, because it doesn't look like it's difficult at all.
Actually, I'd watch him and say, oh, I want to be that. I wish I could do that, because every time he spoke a line, it was like someone saying those words for the first time ever. You'd never believe that anyone ever wrote anything that he said. He was just effortless.
The one thing I heard yesterday that was amazing to me is he got beat up so much on the Rockford Files, got hurt so often that he had to have a knee surgery every single offseason.
Yeah,
5 years that show was on, and between every single season he had to have knee surgery, sometimes in both knees.
During his hiatus, he would go and get surgery. And his back got racked, too. He did all of his own stunts. He did in all of his projects. He prided himself on his own stunts. And
apparently he was terrible at it.
Well, maybe less of that, but it took its toll on his body. He was also a hardcore race car enthusiast, too, and did a lot of racing. And that took a toll on his body as well. So, sad news. A lot of us, wasn't working much late in his life. He was confined to a wheelchair, I believe. He was pretty sick. But still, it's sad to know the world doesn't have him anymore. And while we're talking about people we don't have anymore, where is Casey Kasem? No one can find his remains.
Oh, no.
I thought he was at the
funeral
parlor or whatever.
But apparently, superwife Jean Kasem has stepped in now and has made everyone's life a living hell. No one knows where his body is, and no one knows where she is.
Okay.
So the kids are stepping back in saying, look, we need to go to court to have someone present where he is. At least, where is he already buried? What did she do with the body? No one knows what's going on.
Unbelievable.
Lord.
Yeah.
What a bizarre story.
Some people believe it's because the kids intended to file an elder abuse charge against Gene Kasem pending an autopsy of the body, whether he was abused or tortured before his death. And they believe that maybe Gene planned on disposing or hiding the body as quickly as possible to keep anyone finding evidence of that abuse. Now, paperwork said that Casey's body was moved to a funeral home in Montreal, Canada. But the authorities contacted that facility and they said, no, he's not here.
Hmm.
On the death certificate, Gene said the couple lived in Jerusalem. Which they did. They lived in Brentwood or whatever.
What's going on with her?
And now they don't know where he is, what she has done with the body. They can't figure it out. Huh. So it's a big mystery.
Imagine if you're his kids, by the way.
Oh,
yeah, that's so weird.
It's a nightmare.
I mean, it's already bad enough that your dad's laying in a funeral home for a month and you're waiting for a funeral. Now you don't even know where he is.
It's
heartbreaking.
It's a mystery. Time to bring in Scooby-Doo! Come on, Scoob! We gotta find the body, man! Come on, those kids could find this mystery.
Sure. Sure.
I think so. This is odd to me, the odd casting, but I'm happy to hear that Malcolm Jamal Warner's working again. You remember him as Theo from The Cosby Show?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Joining the cast of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's going to play Sticky.
Sticky.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's going to play Sticky.
Which is a character Bean, I think, was up for. I think they were thinking about casting Bean as Sticky.
Yeah,
a member of the Grim Bastards. And a right-hand man to T.O. Cross, played by Michael Beach on the show. So he will be, he'll have a little arc on there as one of the bikers.
Remember they had Joel McHale last year on the show.
Yeah.
This last season is turning into a bizarre one because we know Marilyn Manson is going to be on this final season as well.
Interesting casting.
And Courtney Love?
Yeah, right.
Yes, and Courtney Love as well. That's right.
Weird casting.
Kind of interesting casting. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Cat Stevens. Is 66 years old today. Is he Cat Stevens again? Or is he still?
Yes, Yusuf, I believe he is.
Yusuf.
I think he goes by Yusuf Islam and Cat Stevens both.
Yeah. Actor Robin Williams is 63. Allie Landry, the lovely and talented, is 41 years old. Josh Hartnett, the actor, is 36. Justin Bartha is also 36 years old. L.A. Clippers center DeAndre Jordan is 26. I wonder how a Clipper got on my birthday.
It's a good question. Who puts that together?
It's not my fault. Actually, I got to work with DeAndre a little bit when we did that Space Jam live read on stage. He was one of the guys, along with Blake Griffin, who was Reader. He played Charles Barkley, and he does a very funny Barkley impression. He's 26. But the reason we celebrate the day, oh, so excited. Had I known today was his birthday, I would have probably dressed up as him.
As
Taco.
Taco.
It's Taco's birthday. Happy birthday, Taco.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Hotel on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz.
Taco!
Do you have any other hits other than putting on the Ritz?
What more hits do you need than putting on the Ritz?
I don't know if he's a one-hit wonder.
I think he had another hit too, didn't he, Bean?
I don't think so. That's the only one that's coming to mind. But if you do put another Ritz, you drop the mic and walk out, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. But I think he had another single that did pretty well. But it doesn't matter. Putting on the Ritz.
Putting on the Ritz.
Stands alone.
Oh, I should have worn my tails and my cane.
Yes, you should have.
I should have
put monocle.
White powder on my face and that creepy German look he had that just made everyone just shiver. Taco's birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Is she over there? I can't see. Lisa, can you see? Is she over there?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
okay,
good. Do you think 311 needs a bass player?
Hey, Chip.
Hi, Chip.
How's it going?
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday morning, by the way. Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy. 1 hour from right now, we'll not only talk to him about the upcoming game match against Manchester United, but we'll give away a pair of tickets, too. That's coming up. First, though, Chip, you're trouble, my dear. We love you, but you're trouble.
You could be right.
Everywhere you go, you shatter lives.
Chip plays the bass guitar, mm-hmm. and she's been in band after band after band. And she seems like every other week she comes in and goes, yep, you know that band I was in? Exploded. And it's never a nice exit. They never go, you know what? I think we'd all get along a little bit better if we just went our own separate ways.
And then in the last few years, it's been just as they were on the verge of like, getting bigger, uh-huh. too.
Yeah, sure. I like to leave, not quietly, I like to leave it scorched earth, just
right.
destroyed, just completely destroyed.
If that I'm should be your new band,
yeah.
Scorched Earth.
But here's what's troubling for me that I just don't understand, because I'm not in Chip's universe. She seems like such a nice person when she's working here. Like, she seems super easy to get along with. Like, I can't imagine that she's actually creating the drama that is causing the bands to break. But somehow she's the inert element that is perfectly safe and fine on itself. But you put it over here in a beaker with other elements, and it just causes all hell to break loose.
I'm an insufferable a-hole. That's what I am.
Do you turn into one when you're in a band? When you put on the bass?
No. It's like when I'm here. I'm just totally laid back, and I can get along with pretty much anybody.
Right.
But I just happen to find bands that just do not.
But
I don't know.
How many bands can one person find that are like that?
All.
I imagine yours is not a atypical situation. I mean, imagine there's a lot of people that are going through the same kind of thing.
Yeah, because it's chemistry. It's like a relationship with four people, five people, and it's just finding the same people who are into the same music, on the same wavelength of what everyone wants, you know, in a band. It's hell trying to find that right situation.
Yeah, and you also have so many decisions to make when you're in a band in terms of, when are we going to rehearse and where are we going to play and how many gigs are we going to do and how far are we willing to travel and how much time are we willing to take off of our real jobs. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff that goes in, and the bands that make it have gone through all of that. And look, you can find almost any popular band and they've got 10 ex-members somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just how it works. Well, how did it start with you, Chip? What was the first band you were in, if you remember?
I had a band in junior high.
Yeah.
And
should get them back together.
We should. Do you remember that video we had in the roundup a couple weeks ago, the Weezer cover? My band was worse than that.
Oh my god.
We actually played a junior high talent show, mm-hmm. and we played Self Esteem by Offspring.
Yeah.
And we decided it was gonna be a great idea to not have any vocals.
Oh good. Not have any vocals.
Yeah, it was bad.
How do you make that choice?
We were 12.
Not good.
I don't know.
All right. They made a lot of bad choices right up until the one where they fired you.
Yeah, so at the start, it was bad.
What was the name of that band?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
I don't even think we had a name.
Next one.
And then in high school, I was in marching band. So, of course, you have a ska band because everyone's the band geek together.
Of course.
That was the Cellophane Monkeys. That lasted 3 years. 3 years.
3 years is pretty good for you.
Three in high school.
Wow.
Broke
That's
got
to be the longest you were ever in a band, right?
One of them. And then they broke up.
Yeah.
And then I was in a punk band called the Black Dots for like 4 years. Come on.
Wow.
But this is high school too. I have a list of
It was like senior year into,
All right. Yeah. So Black Dots came after Cellophane Monkeys.
Yep.
What happened to Black Dots?
Broke up.
Did they stay in music, or did they just quit the business?
I don't think anyone else in that band plays instruments anymore.
Oh, great!
Okay. You know. All right, so that one just you obliterated the black dots.
Yeah, completely gone.
Right. And then
I don't even remember. You have to listen to Pretty.
Pretty in Stereo.
Oh yeah, that was an all girl rock band. And
did we know you then? Because I thought I
remember. Yeah, that was. I think when I interned, I was in that band.
I remember you talking about an all-girl rock band.
Yeah.
Because there's so few of them.
Yeah.
And there are fewer now than there was then. Because
including that one.
That one broke up.
Now, did all your cycles sync up?
Oh, no.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. I thought that's what happened. All right. So how long was Pretty in Stereo?
Oh, I was in that band 18 months.
18 okay. minutes.
Yeah. So this is where the decline goes into.
Now it's starting to go less and less?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Because 18 months seems like you're just sort of finding what sound you want and all that kind of stuff.
And like from Pretty in Stereo on, I was joining bands that were already established. Like they had bass players quit.
Oh,
and
I see.
I would step in. So
how did you find him as a bass player? Did you find him on Craigslist? You did?
Yeah. Because like.
Well, how could that go wrong?
Yeah, you know, that's all good.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Then you were in Melphon. The less said about that, probably the better.
Yeah, when Beer Mug broke him up.
No,
hey,
I think Beer Mug did break that up. All right, and now you got it. Now you get into a band that actually has a following. You're playing gigs all the time. You've got the band already had an album out by the time you joined, and that was Fiction Reform, which was a band that I liked very much.
Yeah, a lot of people liked them.
It seemed like that
obviously
was one
not
that
me.
That was one that was going someplace. Jeff, what went wrong there?
Yeah, it was pretty much the same thing about, like, chemistry, band chemistry and stuff. I came into this band as the third bass player, and what happened, pretty much the quick story of it is they had issues that they never really dealt with as a band from the beginning, and then, you know, I come in, and it's pretty much just, you know,
you lit
baking
the match.
Baking soda and vinegar, and just... And right. Whatever issues they had just exploded.
So let me just see if I've got this right.
Yeah.
So they've got issues that they've never dealt with. You show up, and immediately upon you showing up, things explode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
Okay.
I don't understand how you say, like, I pick up all these bands.
Well, I'm saying, how long were you in Fiction Reform before it exploded?
18 months.
18 months, all right.
I swear to God, there's no band that we play on, like Soundgarden, 25 years together. Chip could join that band and they could break up again. I mean, she's just got the power.
You know, it does, though? Yeah. It does help you appreciate the fact that some bands, you know, Weezer, for one, I'm on their ninth album, stick together and how difficult that must be.
But they've been through a few bass players,
too.
Yeah. They've switched
drummers. Do you think they need one? Should I
probably
just,
I'd say we like Weezer, so we'd like you to stay away from...
You sure?
Yeah, we'd like you to...
I got my bass in my car.
We'd like you to just ignore that point. I think they're fine. I don't think
they
need
it. And then it seemed like you were very happy with Everywhere Wolves, your most recent band. How, in the nutshell, what happened there, Chip?
Me.
Oh, man.
That was just a schedules and just the same general. What, you know, I was talking off air. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing,
doing the exact same thing, expecting a different outcome.
Yep.
Right.
So
that's you.
We start a new band. Woo!
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're on Craigslist now, looking for a band. Would this be a good opportunity for you, Chip? If anyone's out there listening who needs a bass player, to tell them what kind of situation you're looking for?
Yeah, just my favorite music is punk rock. Just for anything we play here, except like banjo stuff.
Right.
You know,
everything but banjo.
I'm looking to start a new band, or if you're in a band that needs a bass player, hit me up, chip@krock.com.
But
or
really,
if your band sucks and you hate it and you want me to break it up,
she will provide that service.
I will provide that service.
That's right.
Okay.
You can get a hold of her that way as well if you want it all to end. Because that's what Chip does. She breaks up bands.
That's true.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Harvey Levin from TMZ now.
Less than 1 hour from right now, the band Weezer will be in our studio here on the world famous K-Rock, and they're bringing with them their brand new song. We will world premiere for you this morning between 7:30 and 8 o'clock called Back to the Shack. That's next hour right here on K-Rock. First, though, it's Monday morning. That means we check into TMZ newsroom with our good friend Harvey Levin. Hi, Harvey. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Thanks so much for joining us. I know celebrities continue to get in trouble on Twitter. You know, you had your story up a couple days ago about Jason Biggs and the world of hurt he brought on himself tweeting about the Malaysian Airlines jet. And now Selena Gomez in trouble. What's going on?
Well, she's actually the third celebrity that we know of. So she tweets a couple days ago, pray for Gaza. And you know, she's you know what it seems like from you know what she's done here is she kind of thinks that you know she looks at television or whatever she's doing and she sees the problem on one side, but she's talking like the victims of Gaza, and she's not understanding that this is a more complex issue,
yeah.
And that you know, and that Israel's being attacked too, which is one of the problems with the you know with celebrities getting involved, because you know Rihanna did it, where she you know hashtag free Palestine, then took it down 8 minutes later. Dwight Howard did the same thing. So it's you know Selena's 22 years old, and you know she tried to clarify it the next day, but it is just weird that they're jumping in on this stuff.
But the Israel-Palestine issue is so complex and has so much history to it that it would be – look, the Secretary of State John Kerry couldn't write something on Twitter that wouldn't piss people off or have people misinterpret it. It's just – it's too daunting, too delicate to be able to handle in that format.
And whoever you think is the aggressor, it almost doesn't matter. Both sides – are under attack.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start, you know, I doubt she's really up on her Middle Eastern policy.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, I just think she kind of stepped in it. But the weird thing that she did that or didn't do that everybody else did, she didn't take it down. She tried to clarify it, but the clarification almost created more confusion than the initial statement.
Yeah, I feel like there are some things that perhaps you shouldn't try and tackle with Twitter, and maybe that's one of them.
There's nothing you could tweet about that would be received well.
Right.
I think perhaps a little more of the previous tweet of the photograph of her with the see-through blouse, a little more of that, a little less talking about Gaza, don't you?
That's the sweet spot. That's
exactly.
Perfect.
All right, you got another story that's up that's pretty interesting about a quote-unquote celebrity that I've never heard of, but she used to be in the band Destiny's Child. Things maybe haven't gone as well for her as they have for the other girls, have they?
Not. She's no Beyonce.
No.
Her name is Farrah Franklin. It's so funny because the guy who walked in this morning and started writing this called me because he's in New York, and he called me up and he said, it's early, and can you fix this post? Because he was just writing it. And he said, I kept writing Farrah Abraham. When you're not as famous as Farrah Abraham.
Yeah, that's rough.
You got a problem. But her name is Farrah Franklin. She was in Myrtle Beach over the weekend. And she was hanging out with two NFL players, and there was a lot of alcohol involved. She went back to their home, and they think she was doing drugs because she kept running in the bathroom, was there for a long time, over and over. She denies it, but the short story is they were so concerned because she got so aggressive that they called the police. She fled. And they found her sleeping in a neighbor's yard, and she told cops that she was just planning on sleeping in the woods because she had nowhere to go. So she was arrested for disorderly conduct. Not her first time, by the way.
She was planning on sleeping in the woods.
Come on, Kevin, you've been there. You know how she felt. Come on.
How dare you?
I'm always so impressed when I see the TMZ TV show on Channel 11, the celebrities that your people are able to recognize out on the street or at the airport or something. I'm always amazed that TMZ knows who every celebrity is. How do you even catch wind of somebody who used to be in Destiny's Child on somebody's front yard in Florida? Like, how do you even know about this, Harvey?
Well, we got a tip on this, but I will say I am shocked at – the camera guys, because you know I could walk past, honestly I could walk past a major movie star and have
right
and just no clue, and they can pick out the most obscure people, and they usually end up being more interesting than the people that you've seen every day. But I don't know how our camera guys do it. They are unbelievable.
Well, everybody should go to TMZ.com to check out these stories. And also, while we're talking about your photographers on the street, a very funny video of somebody trying to interview Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith makes him come into the theater where they're recording the podcast. In fact, the Hollywood Babylon with our own Ralph Garman, and do the interview on stage. And Kevin Smith is hilarious in that video.
Hilarious.
It's very funny, Harvey.
It's so funny. That's my favorite video of the weekend.
Very funny. TMZ.com and go to Channel 11. You can see TMZ about 25 times a day on that channel as well. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
As Ralph mentioned a few minutes ago, it is Comic-Con week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to be hitting the road for San Diego, and I wanted to put this out there in case you are also going to be there for the San Diego Convention Center this week. You can stop by and see the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be broadcasting live Thursday and Friday at the Hard Rock Hotel, and we'll have more information about what guests will be stopping by and whatnot as we get closer to it. But this Thursday and Friday, come see us in San Diego at K-Rock.
What if I were to tell you they found something, that scientists have found something that will reduce the risk of cancer, stroke, heart attack, and dementia?
That would be amazing.
I would say it's amazing, and it sounds like it's a miracle drug. I think you're well on your way to a Nobel Peace Prize if this works out.
What if I were to tell you that the answer is smelling farts?
Then I would move next to Jimmy Kimmel.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
There have been You'd live forever, Lisa.
There have been people that come in and out of our lives that we would definitely want to stay closer to.
Matt Money Smith.
Jimmy's one. Matt Money Smith is one. Psycho Mike is one.
Corolla. I think Corolla, he likes a mean fart. So wait, hold on a second. I want to make sure I understand.
This sounds absurd.
So you're saying the benefit is in smelling farts, is in somebody else's farts? Not farting doesn't help you fight those things off,
right?
But smelling somebody else's farts does?
That's correct, yes.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know. But that's why we have Dr. Aristotle Freedom that we always go to find out.
Oh, Dr. Freedom is back on the line.
Give us some information on this.
This is your doctor, right,
yes.
Lisa?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, man.
Hi, Dr. Freedom.
Hey, Lisa May. How you doing?
Great. Good to talk to you.
How was your vacation?
It was good. I didn't stay on my cloud diet very well.
Oh, Lisa.
That's tough when you're traveling, but...
Come on, man.
She can get back to it, though, now.
I'm back to it now.
But think about how leaky her gut must be.
I know.
Yeah.
You're not kidding.
I don't know if she would confess this to you, doctor, but Lisa told us that she went to a place in Florida that only serves desserts. And you had what there, Lisa?
It's called Better Than Sex, and I had this grilled cheese chocolate thing with cinnamon, and it was amazing.
Was it better than sex?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that sound to you, Dr. Freedom?
Makes me a little nauseous.
Yeah, that's not for you.
Eat some sprouts, you'll feel better.
I'm having my breakfast sprouts right now, man.
Oh, good. Well, listen, what about this story? I sense that, not that I don't trust Kevin's reading abilities, but I sense that he must have gotten it wrong. The headline he gave us was that smelling farts can reduce the risk of cancer. That can't be so.
Oh, absolutely, man. Farts are a powerful weapon for good, man.
Well, they're a powerful weapon for sure. How do they help with cancer and stroke and heart attack?
It's all about the hydrogen sulfide, dude.
Okay.
That's one of the gases that gets produced by the bacteria as it breaks down food in your gut.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Except for Lisa's, man, because now her gut's all leaky.
But she'll get back to it.
Chocolate grilled cheese Cinnabon.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But when you smell in, you take in the hydrogen sulfide, man. It helps to preserve the mitochondria in your cells.
And that prohibits your cells or makes it less likely that your cells will then turn cancerous?
Yeah, it keeps them healthy, man. Helps them regenerate. Helps them protect themselves against disease. It's really a powerful, powerful gas, and it's terrific, man. Helps a lot.
That's shocking. This is shocking medical news. Whoa, what happened there, doctor?
Doing a little anti-cancer work.
Oh, gosh. We're not going to have to do that, are we?
Protecting myself from stroke and heart attack and dementia with a little morning medicine.
Okay. I don't know that we need this.
Yeah, you do
need
it.
You do need it,
Bean. I'm trying to tell you,
do.
Man. Especially you, Bean, with all your problems, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're
but...
a mess medically, dude. Everyone knows.
You've never treated me, doctor. You have no idea.
You don't have to, man. You're like legendary in the medical community.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
People write papers about Bean and stuff.
Wow.
The world's most accident-prone guy.
How dare you?
Guy with, like, missing kidneys and stuff.
Right.
Writing.
Well, I don't think he's missing them as much as he donated one.
Well, still, man.
Okay.
If he had smelled some farts, he would have been donating a much healthier kidney. I know that.
Yeah, it's not for me. I'm going to go ahead and pass on this treatment if you don't mind,
listen,
doctor.
I love you guys. You've been so good to me and everything. I'm going to come by the studio and give you guys some free medical help, okay?
Okay.
Okay. We're going to actually pass on that. Doctor? Oh, geez. I feel the nostrils moving now. I don't like that. Okay.
Oh, dear God.
Dr. Freedom?
I'm starting to feel healthier.
Are you?
No.
I feel the opposite.
Feel good.
Doctor, wow. Come on.
Super healthy.
Seriously, standing O.
Do you feel the nostrils moving now?
I do.
All right, that's what you want, right?
Yeah, you want to feel your nostrils moving.
Keep doing what you're doing.
You do.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Kevin is asking the rest of us to leave the room, Ralph, after the top of the hour so we can have some private time with Landon Donovan.
Oh, I know. And he's got candles lit in here. There's incense burning. He's wearing a negligee.
None of that is true.
It's all true.
Apparently, Wednesday night at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, it's Los Angeles Galaxy versus the Manchester United Club over visiting from the UK, don't you know? Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking to Landon about that. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
We talk about the movies at the box office every Monday morning. Today is no different. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes continues to have a stranglehold at the top of the box office charts. $36 million it made this weekend. Once again, number one, beating three new movies, The Purge, Anarchy, Planes, Fire and Rescue, and Sex Tape all came in after Planet of the Apes. It was Transformers at number five, and then Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Maleficent, and Earth to Echo, rounding out your top 10. At the box office this weekend. Did you happen to catch the special last night on Sci-Fi called Aliens on the Moon?
I did not.
The Truth Exposed. That's right, man. There are aliens on the moon. Everybody knows it. Why are you trying to cover it up? Why is the government trying to cover up the aliens on the moon?
Did you, what, are there aliens on the moon?
Yes.
Yes?
This program is suggesting they live there?
They were there. When we were there, they were there.
While we were there.
It was the anniversary of the 45th anniversary of the moon landing yesterday.
Okay.
And so Sci-Fi had this two-hour special, which had proof positive that aliens were on the moon while we were there.
I'm surprised that's only on the Sci-Fi channel if it's that big a news.
Well, yeah. Because that's where you get the true news is on the Sci-Fi channel. The rest of the lamestream media is too scared to tackle this story.
Sure.
But guess who they talked to for the special?
Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah. Our good old friend Buzz.
Oh.
Bat-ass crazy Buzz was trying out.
He's a believer. He's a believer in the aliens and the UFOs.
Here's a little Buzz.
60 seconds.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us.
Yeah.
So technically becomes an unidentified flying object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's,
And I had sex with him.
Has he gone bye-bye? Has he always said that, Bean?
Yeah.
Yes, he's always said that. Hmm. From when they came back from the moon. He said that for years.
Yeah. They're pretty sexy babies, those aliens. They say also, of course, it's convenient now that he's dead, that Neil Armstrong switched over to a secret audio channel and said, they're here, they're watching us, they're on the other side of that crater. So this special
okay,
said
that
last
happened?
Night, well, we, that's what they say happened.
Okay.
And they got all kinds of photographs. Of, look at that over there. Does that look like a rock? Sure, but it also looks like a giant worm. It was insane, but I just
by the way,
great to see crazy Buzz back at it again.
I hate to discount anything the great Buzz Aldrin says, because I love him, but there's no way there was a secret audio channel that the astronauts could talk to one another that NASA couldn't overhear. There was no way.
There was the medical channel, Bean.
I don't think that's accurate
Why don't you open up a blog?
That's right.
Learn something instead of just shooting off your mouth without knowing the facts about Neil Armstrong telling us the aliens were watching with the secret audio.
I absolutely am standing on the surface of the moon. I'm talking to you from the surface of the f***ing moon. Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
See? You didn't know about that audio either, did you? I was so bummed this weekend with the passing of James Garner. Boy, he was one of my favorites. One of those guys who was just a terrific actor, never really got much credit for it. Everybody said, oh, he's a star because he's very likable and he's really charming. It's like, yeah, but he's also just a tremendously gifted actor. And I think he made it look too easy. And he was always played these likable characters. And everyone just assumed that people liked him because they liked him personally. But he was a terrific actor in a ton of great movies. including The Great Escape. Boy, that's a great film. And Victor Victoria, The Notebook. And on television, of course, he was James Rockford, one of the best TV private eyes ever. Also was a star of a smash hit series called Maverick years before. He was in Space Cowboys, did a ton of great work. He did a buddy film with Jack Lemmon late in their lives where they both played former presidents called My Fellow American, where they have to try to uncover a scandal in the government, and they get together. One's a Democrat and one's a Republican, and they're kind of forced to work together.
It sounds terrible.
It was really great. It was really charming. Nothing blew up, though, Kevin, so probably wouldn't like it. But
what did he think about aliens on the moon? Do we know?
I don't think Jim Garner believed in aliens on the moon. He passed away at the age of 86 this weekend, a two-time Purple Heart winner for the Korean War. Truly one of the great Americans. He is gone. And you like The Shining? Are you a Shining fan? I love that film.
I like
Jack
that.
Nicholson.
Yeah.
There are two now projects in the works that are going to be a prequel and then, after that, a sequel of that film. Stephen King's book, The Shining, apparently has a prologue, which was cut from it prior to its publication in 1977, that talks about the original owner of the Overlook Hotel and how he went insane. And so that has been unearthed, and now they're using that as the basis for a prequel to the movie The Shining, talking about the original owners who also lost their minds at that hotel. And then Warner Brothers is also looking to produce a sequel to The Shining based on Stephen King's sequel book, Dr. Sleep, which will also be in the works as well. So a lot of Shining coming our way soon. And Shakira,
yes,
is now the most liked celebrity on Facebook.
I'm good with that. She's a hot midget.
She is a hot midget, but I'm stunned by the fact that she seems to dominate in social media more so than any other artist. I mean, Gaga's up there. I know Bieber's up there as well.
Mm-hmm. But I know Taylor's got almost 70 million right now likes on Facebook. And Shakira's so much bigger than she is.
Taylor Swift. 100 million likes on Facebook. She's the most liked celebrity on Facebook. Shakira is. Eminem's next with 91.9 million. And then Rihanna with 89 million.
Are we just going to gloss over the fact that Bean knew exactly how many likes Taylor Swift had on Facebook?
Of course he did. Are you stunned by that at all?
Well, nope. I just continuously, yes, I am stunned by that.
What pushed her over the top, people say? World Cup.
Ah, there you go.
She was very busy on Facebook during the World Cup, sending out photos from the games, and that really put her over the top. Facebook said her most popular photo was her standing on the field at the Maracana. Am I saying that correctly, Kevin? You were there. Maracana Stadium?
I do not know that one.
She's holding a soccer ball. That photo alone was liked 3.5 million times. She also performed, of course, at the closing ceremony. So
That was the main stadium where the final was, Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't go there, so I don't know.
I don't know. I'm on the floor holding pizza. I slept from playing like that.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Cat Stevens. He is 66 years old today. Robin Williams is 63. John Lovitz, he's a dick, 57 years old today. Allie Landry's 41. Josh Hartnett, 36 years old today. Actor Justin Bartha is 36 as well. L.A. Clipper center DeAndre Jordan turns 26. And the singer Taco is 59 today. Taco!
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits.
Always makes me think of Young Frankenstein, that movie. I'm Rob Carman. I want the show.
Hey, the band Weezer is going to be joining us in minutes here on The Kevin DeBean Show. Details about their brand new album that's coming out. World premiere their brand new song in just a few minutes. But first, it's soccer time. Hit it, Steve.
Shoot and score. Perfect ball for Donovan. Second touch needs to be through. Donovan. Yes. Trick. Beckham chips it back in. The header and a goal.
Recognizable faces in American soccer, the all-time leading scorer, three-time MLS Cup champion, Landon Donovan.
Landon Donovan, from Charlie Davies here from Orlando Santos. Tillbaka mot Donovan, ska vi 2-0 här, vilket läge. Yeah, 2-0! Landon Donovan!
It's
It's an international friendly this Wednesday night at 7:30 at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Kevin, I know you go to almost all the Galaxy games. Have you seen some of these friendlies before?
Have
you
gone
to see these internationals?
Yeah, I saw him play Barcelona at the Rose Bowl. I saw him play Real Madrid at StubHub. It's fun.
And how fun is it to see those players that you've only seen on TV before in person?
It's really great. It's really an amazing thing to be able to watch. And this is Manchester United, so you got your Wayne Rooney, you got your Robin Van Persie, you got just a ton of players that you've heard about your entire life. This team.
And just watched in the World Cup, too. I mean, that's the thing about Manchester United is they have like seven starters from the various clubs that were that we just saw in the World Cup playing for all sorts of different countries. It's like a World Cup all-star team or something.
Not to mention alone, they've won 20 titles, Manchester United, in the Premier League, which is considered one of the best leagues in the world. If we had Landon Donovan on the air, we could talk to him about that.
Dave is well, let's ask Dave. He's got the microphone at his desk. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
It's going well.
Why do you ask, Dave?
How about you?
Oh, you know, just having problems getting a hold of Landon.
All right.
Apparently, he dropped his phone in the toilet on a flight, so he doesn't have a phone right now.
Dropped his phone in a toilet on a flight.
Don't take your phone with you to the toilet.
The Galaxy are trying to get a hold of him, and yeah, that's what's happening.
Good times.
So yeah, he said he would be ready, and here we are.
What's your advice as the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show? Hang on and stall for another couple minutes, or accept the tragic reality we're probably not going to get to talk to him and just cut our bait and get into commercials?
Hey, guys, Weezer's here. What do you say, huh? Let's go to the
That's a good point. Weezer is here.
All right.
So quick break, and then come right back and play the new Weezer song and then talk to the boys?
That's what
and,
we'll do.
And Kevin, you'll have
I
to
like
blow
it.
Out the candle.
Let's do that.
All right. Before we do that, though, just in case you were tuning in for Landon Donovan and you were as excited as we are for this event Wednesday at the Rose Bowl, we do have a pair of VIP tickets to see the Galaxy take on Manchester United July 23rd. These VIP tickets include parking and hospitality. If you want to go, 1-800-520-1067. Be caller 20. You win. Brand new Weezer right after this on K-Rock. But I'm confused. Kevin, that sounds like Weezer, but those guys don't put out records anymore. What are we listening to there?
Hey, Weezer.
How are you? Hey, Weezer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the Shack.
Thank you. Good to be back.
The new album is called Everything Will Be All Right in the End. Expected release date is September 30th. We just heard the brand new song, Back to the Shack. Great to hear Weezer on K-Rock again, and great to see you guys again. This is a song that a lot of your fans are already familiar with from you know, from seeing it on YouTube from the cruise. Why'd you choose this one for the first number back? I stumped him with the first question.
They're all looking at each other trying to...
I think it has... a good rock sound that you want to hear from Weezer, and at the same time, it sounds like there's something new. We're trying something new, and yet it could only be Weezer.
Is that a difficult line to walk where you want Weezer fans to know that it's Weezer and you want them to get what they expect but not repeat yourself? And
is
that difficult?
That's exactly the difficult line we're always walking as we move forward in our career, yeah. We want to try new things, and at the same time, we want it to be recognizably Weezer.
It's also relatively simple to play, and it seems like that's been a pattern with our first singles, like the Sweater Song.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to perform it on Jimmy Fallon this Wednesday.
So you pick the easiest one to play, and then,
absolutely.
And then you're ready to go.
That's the way we do it.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
We have some challenging music on this new record.
Yeah, but it's not that easy. Like, the riff is strong, and you got to have, you know, You got to be on your game.
I said relatively simple.
He said relatively.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the shack that you reference in the song, you tweeted out a picture a few days ago of something that you called the original shack, a studio that you have previously recorded in. Is that part of what this song is about, is kind of going back to your roots a little bit, going back to the early days? Am I reading too much into that title?
No, that's right. There's different levels of meaning. It's true. There's always been like a little place, a little hovel where we make a lot of our creative work. The original garage that we sang about on our first album, and I still have a place like that where I wrote most of the record in the garage behind my house. And at the same time, I think metaphorically it could stand for Weezer coming back to being closer to our fans and closer to the larger Weezer community. And that's something we've done over the last few years with the cruise. And then just after every show we play, we tend to have about 10 to 30 fans come back, and we just hang out and talk and really get to know each other better. And so I think there's that level of meaning too. And Back to the Shack, we're coming back to the core Weezer community.
I was terrified for you guys when I heard that you were going out on a cruise because you're the kind of band that has rabid enough fans that you could sell out a cruise, and that's great. But you're also the type of band that has fans that are so deeply into you that I would imagine it would be awkward. And you'd have a lot of uncomfortable encounters trying to walk around on the ship, just trying to get something to eat.
Because you're stuck.
Yeah, but it's not – I was had a big fear of that too. But you will not find a more polite, respectful group of fans, I don't think. I mean, like, because I had my wife and son, and people would just be like, oh, Scott, okay, cool. I'll talk to you later. Like, going to get coffee, hanging out.
Very cool people.
Man.
None of you felt cornered at any point, like you might have to jump?
No,
I mean, I think
hang out on the top of the boat and have beers with people. It was awesome.
So they got to be starstruck the first minute they see you, but then you're just kind of become friendly, I guess.
Yeah,
you're
we just punch them, just hang out.
And it's over. Hit them right at the beginning.
Because I just had visions of you guys like running, you know, running from the stage back to your rooms with fans going after you, just trying to pull articles of clothing off of you for souvenirs, and it just sounded like a potential nightmare.
Somehow it's always good. I don't know. It's good.
How many of those have you done, the cruises?
Two.
Two different times?
Yeah.
Sweet.
What's great is that there's a whole bunch of – it's basically like a festival at sea that we're headlining.
A festival at sea.
So there's
lots of
other bands on the boat, too, that can like bond with and go see.
Do you ever play with any other band members? Do you ever go up with them jam?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, sometimes.
You know, make a lot of new friends. Cat Power was really amazing on this cruise.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We're actually really busy on the cruise. In addition to all of our shows, they have us leading a number of other activities. I did a small acoustic performance for a small audience. I think Scott
was
doing...
Me and Pat had to do some game show and put balance like soccer balls on our... heads.
I wonder where that sentence is going.
Anyways, but that was stuff like that.
I don't think I had was able to sit down and have dinner until the third day.
Really?
Yeah, that's how busy we were.
Wow, that seems like maybe they were a little too busy.
Yeah, yeah, it's all good. Mm-hmm.
Any of you call bingo? You ever get up there and call a bingo game?
No, dude. We had a boat workout. We had what else? We had arts and crafts, and Pat built ships out of matchsticks.
None of this is true.
You guys are making everything up, aren't you?
These are the voices of the gentlemen in the band Weezer here on the Kevin Beach Show at KROQ. We just played their new song, Back to the Shack. We'll be playing it again for you here in a couple minutes. The album is called Everything Will Be All Right in the End. Expected release date is September 30th. And you called up your old friend, producer Rick Ocasek, for this record. It's been a little bit since you worked with him. How come?
Well, we thought about it long and hard, and we talked to a number of producers. And ultimately, we realized we wanted to make a record that had the sonic qualities of our first record. And really, who could do a better job than Rick, who produced that first record? Mm-hmm. So we started talking to him, and it started to feel very exciting again. And he came out to L.A. and brought his two... Les Paul guitars, which we recorded that whole first album with. And once we plugged everything in and got going, it was just the magic came back, and it was very fun and exciting for all of us.
How does he, as a producer, make a difference with you guys? How does he, what does he bring? How does he
really,
change?
He doesn't have to do much. He just has to be in the room.
And, I could do that. You know, man, I'm saying, what does he bring to the band?
He says, that's great. Do it again.
Right. I could do that as well.
He has a sense of a musical style and a musical knowledge that you trust. And he also hung out with Andy Warhol.
Well, I didn't do that. So.
Yeah. So that makes him cooler than anyone, I guess, right?
But I think Scott put it best when he said, even when we hear that he's on his way to the studio, we all start playing differently. There's just something about having this all-time new wave rock legend around us that ups our game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're challenged? You feel challenged to step it up a notch?
Yeah, it's not as much fooling around. Like, wow, this has to be great. It has to have the energy, and it has to be cool, and we can't be wasting time here.
Have you ever had any songs that you were going to play and then go, that one's not ready yet. I don't want to do that one in front of Rick.
Absolutely.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to waste a guy's time. I mean, right. You see him in the control room with his presence and his vibe. Well, I'm making these hand signals now, but it's like,
can see it, but it's
not right. It's not somebody you want to mess around with. It's almost like the Don Corleone of New Wave.
Yeah, I call it a match. We make sure we get a rehearsal in before Rick walks in this room.
He's the Italian mob leader of New Wave. Yeah.
he always struck me as such a, I don't know him. I don't even think we've ever had him on this show in the years at K-Rock. Of course, he was the leader of the Cars, for folks who don't recognize the name. They were a huge band back in the 70s and 80s, and he was a guy who basically walked away from it, right? Decided to go on the other side of the glass and made his living as a producer for a long, long time. Does he play much music anymore himself anymore, or is he hands off?
Well, I think the Cars did a record 2 years ago.
They did. They did reunite briefly.
Coachella,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you know, most of the time he's not picking up an instrument, but then in those rare moments when he does pick up the guitar and starts playing something, and it's so instantly recognizably that sound from the Cars. But he's playing one of our songs or coming up with an idea for one of our songs. It just feels like such a precious moment, and I'm so glad to be there.
That's fun. All right, we have to take a very quick break with the band Weezer here on the Kevin Bean Show. Everything will be all right in the end. We got a lot more questions about that. You can also contact us on the Kevin Bean Facebook page or email or Twitter or whatever if you've got some questions you wanted to ask as well. And we're going to play that song again for you called Back to the Shack right after this here on K-Rock.
Weezer is in the studio. This is the song that we world premiered a few minutes ago. It's called Back to the Shack on K-Rock.
Sorry, guys, I didn't realize that I needed you so much. I thought I'd get a new audience. I forgot that disco sucks. I ended up with nobody and I started feeling dumb. Should play the lead guitar and Pat should play the drums. Take me back to the shack, back to the strap with the lightning strap. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid singing shows. I know where we need to go, back to the shack. I finally settled down with my girl. I made up with my dad. Had to go and make a few mistakes so I could find out who I am. I'm letting all of these feelings out, even if it means I fail. Cause this is what I was meant to do, and you can't put that on sale. Take me back to the shack, back to the start with the lightning strap. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 90.
Weezer on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:34.
Rivers, Patrick, Brian, Scott from the band Weezer in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the new album, Everything Will Be All Right in the End, coming out on September the 30th. I asked if there were questions for you from our listeners. Here's one off of Facebook. Tony writes in, question for Weezer, could you guys give us more details about the Six City Club Tour to promote the new album, please?
Mm. Oh, I'm so glad you asked. This is something I'm very excited about. For the first time, when the when our new album comes out, we're actually going to go out on a little tour and play the new album front to back.
Oh, that's cool.
In relatively small venues for, you know, all the hardcore fans that already know the new album and want to hear it and know all the lyrics and want to sing along. And there's actually maybe a few moments for crowd participation where towards the end of the album there's this choir section that comes in. And so we're thinking of having 9 guys and 9 girls come up from the audience and put on Weezer robes, and they can be the Weezer choir.
Don the robe again.
You guys do such strange creative thinking that way. Like, you just figure, hey, yeah, let's just bring 18 people up and they can sing. You don't know if they can sing. Yeah. Right? Maybe they can. Maybe they don't sing well.
We did a similar thing with the thing called the Hootenanny.
Right. Remember that?
Tour, and
it went surprisingly well, actually.
You afraid of it at the beginning? Like, you know.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of...
Definitely some butterflies.
Right. Yeah.
These are teaser videos that you have been putting out in recent weeks ahead of the new record. They've been fun to watch. They're so old school. Everything about them, I mean, like, there's a lot of AM radio in these videos. Are they a hint for what's going on with the rest of the record as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot buried in the webisodes that is related to the lyrics and the artwork and the songs themselves on the record. And I don't think I want to go into too much detail because the mystery factor to me is a big part of the appeal. And I think if you keep tuning in every Wednesday to our website or our YouTube, watch these webisodes, the story will become more and more clear and will climax sometime around the release of the album on September 30th.
How many have you put out so far? I think
we're on number 13.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. It's a long time to wait for a climax, though.
That's what she said.
Alex writes in also on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, if you could ask the guys what the hell is on the cover of their new album, P.S. Love the new song.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What is that? Well, it's a landscape painting.
Of my dog.
and then this monster. It's just some sort of mythical creature. Do you know more about it, Rivers?
Yeah, again, it's tied into the lyrics, and it's part of this nightmare vision where this monster is on a rampage and destroying everything on Earth. And I think, again, if you tune in and you watch the webisodes and listen to the album, check out the lyrics, it will all become clear. But right now, I guess all I can say is that I just something about the vibe of that painting really appeals to me, where it's kind of terrifying and it's kind of endearing and cute at the same time. It's right on this line, on this edge between scary and funny, which I think is appealing to me. And I think Weezer's been on that line for a lot of our career.
You guys put a lot of work and effort into that type of thing and into, you know, teaser videos and stuff like that and the lyrics you usually try not to explain too much about. And do you feel like your audience gets most of what you put into it? Or are there times when you go, hey, everybody, you're missing something that I really intended to be cool?
No, I feel like the audience gets it 100% of the time. They're really, really into it, really paying attention, and they work together online to try to figure all this stuff out and
help each other out.
Yeah, together.
Do you really? What about Beverly Hills? That's where I want to be. Everybody thinks it's tongue in cheek, but
yeah, I mean, I guess sometimes some people take things a different way than I intended, but a lot of times that's fine because
you let them get what they want to get out of it.
Yeah, as long as it's meaningful to them. Seems like it served some sort of purpose.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, there's no reason why a song can't be personal to everyone who hears it. Whatever their interpretation is, I think is legitimate. You have one perspective on it, but sure, why not? By the way, Eulogy for a Rock Band is one of the songs I have not heard anything of, but it's one that has been asked about a lot or you've brought up a lot in press leading up to the album. Something about your place in history, and I'm fascinated by this thought and this discussion. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I was inspired by thinking about another artist, one of our forefathers, and and watching as huge as they were, how as the years go by, they're kind of sinking into oblivion, as all of us will. And that's one of the main themes on the album is just facing the fact that everything is changing underneath our feet, and things we took for granted, things we thought would always be the same and would always be there for us, are drifting into oblivion. And so that's one of the things I'm facing on this record, and definitely in that song, both looking to that artist and all our musical forefathers, but then also thinking about our own place.
So are you wondering if people will still be listening to Weezer records in 50 years, that sort of thing?
Maybe I'm too optimistic, but I'm not so worried about 50 years.
All right, good.
500 years, yeah. Most likely we'll all be gone.
Well, I'm guessing that we'll all be gone.
Yeah, any trace.
Years. Right. Even your music, any trace of your music?
Maybe as a footnote in some historical textbook or something, but yeah, I don't think kids will be listening to us every day in the year 2500. Whatever.
Nobody will be able to get the formats to work. Be like, what is this?
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, I'm sure we'll just think of a band and it'll just play in our brain at that point,
yeah,
right?
I would imagine. Really great.
Would you guys have been surprised if somebody had came to you in the first couple of years of Weezer and said, hey, you're going to be, you know, in 2014, you'll be putting out your 10th album. Are you surprised the band has lasted this long?
Well, I feel like I've always had like this dual track in my mind where I was imagining the worst outcome and thinking that we would immediately fail and I'd have to go get a day job again. And then on the other track, thinking that, you know, we'd be exactly where we are today. And so I'm not sure how to answer that question. I think
part of you saw it and part of you...
You didn't know. Yeah. You just didn't know. You're just waiting to see what happened.
I remember talking to Rivers the day they K-Rock played the Sweater song for the first time. And we all heard it on the radio, and it almost seems like yesterday. So,
I have to say, what an honor it is to be able to move to L.A., get in a band with these guys, and be sitting here looking at you right now.
That's pretty strange.
It's amazing, and I'm so grateful.
Well, we're so happy to have you guys, and we're so delighted to have new Weezer music on the radio. Don't blame us, though, if you get sick of hearing your song on K-Rock over the next 3 months, because you probably will. I'm just warning you, when we play Weezer, we tend to really, really play Weezer. Before we let you go, you're doing the Budweiser Made in America Festival at the Grand Park in downtown L.A.
That's reminding me.
With Kanye West, Imagine Dragons, Rise Against, Capital City, Sublime with Rome, and more. Single and multi-day tickets are on sale now through MadeInAmericaFest.com. We're giving away a pair of tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it caller 20 right now if you want VIP passes to see Weezer. You like doing festivals like that?
Yeah, we like playing the big festivals and getting to hang out with all the other bands. That's really fun. And seeing the giant crowds and all the mayhem out there.
Yeah. Are you afraid of Kanye West, or will you try to talk to him?
No, who's this?
No, we're
he's actually
Kanye West. I have talked to him before.
Yeah. No, he's kind of friendly with us. Hopefully we'll be able to hang out. I just like playing with great bands. I feel like it raises our game up.
You guys watch the other bands when you play a big show like that?
It's hard yeah, to have time to.
I would think so.
But
all this talk about like you're busy. You guys aren't busy at all. Come
well,
on.
Well, we left as Outkast was going on stage in that festival.
Who's that now?
Who's Outkast?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We have a busy travel schedule. We have to prepare to play our show.
Right.
So, there may be time to see. I usually see maybe one band at a festival show.
Well, see Imagine Dragons if you haven't seen them, by the way. They will blow you away.
I hope I get to.
Yeah, they're good.
They're great. Really, really great.
And then at the same time, we also love playing the small venues. So be on the lookout. We're going to play the Troubadour and the Glass House about a month after the record comes out. And it's probably going to be hard to get tickets. So please pay attention if you want to see this new album.
I guarantee it'll be hard to get tickets for the Troub. That's a tiny place. But it's such a sweet place to watch somebody play.
Small and mighty.
Small and mighty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything will be all right in the end. That is the optimistic new title for the brand new Weezer album due out on September the 30th. Guys, anything else you want to leave us with before we let you go? Because I know you're heading back to bed. I know this is too damned early for you.
I love you.
We love you, too. Hey, thanks for coming, and welcome back, Weezer.
Thank you. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
A lot of fun. having Weezer stop by, you guys. I enjoyed that.
You like the Weezer?
I do like the Weezer very much.
Man, you like the Weezer?
Their new song, Back to the Shack, we, believe it or not, are going to play it again for you coming up after the top of the hour. Also, it's almost fluffy time. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias will be here in studio as well next hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Did you tell Weezer you bought their CD out of the back of a van?
I don't think I heard that part, no.
I don't think we brought that up. That was about 6 or 7 albums ago, yeah. So it's kind of old news.
Well,
but
I'm sure they don't care if they sell albums. That's fine. As long as you're getting bootlegs out of the back of a van, that's all that matters. It is Comic-Con week, people.
Yes, it is.
Get on it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Oh. But
you haven't gotten on it by now.
We'll be broadcasting live from the Hard Rock Hotel down there, right across from the convention center, Thursday morning and Friday morning, doing the Kevin and Bean Show. And lots of people are writing and saying, where are you going to be, Ralph, during the con? Because they know I am hither and yon that whole weekend.
Ralph so stays people busy.
I'll give people a heads up. Here's where you can find me during Comic-Con 2014. On Thursday, we are broadcasting live, as I mentioned, from the Hard Rock. Then later on in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, I will be doing the DC Comics Digital Comics panel. I'll be on that panel talking about Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, which was a digital comic first before it goes to print. We're going to be talking about the new phenomenon of digital comics and the success on the web with comic books. That is Thursday at 2 p.m. Then later that day at 6 o'clock in Hall H, the big hall, I will be moderating the Batman 66 TV show DVD release announcement and panel, which is me hosting with Adam West, Burt Ward, Julie Newmar will all be on stage. That's Thursday. Friday morning, we broadcast again from the Hard Rock. Then later in the afternoon at 4:20 in Hall H, I will be moderating the 20th Century Fox panel where they talk about all their new movies that are coming out.
4:20.
Later that night at 11 p.m., we're doing the late show of Hollywood Babylon at the House of Blues in San Diego.
Are you trying to kill yourself, Ralph?
That's 11 o'clock Friday night. Saturday, the 75th anniversary of Batman is this year, so we're doing a special 75th anniversary Batman panel. That'll be Saturday at 4 p.m. I will be on that panel. And then at 5:30 at the DC Comics booth on the floor of the con, I will be there signing copies of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet at 5:30 at the DC booth. So those are the places you can find me this coming weekend for Comic-Con. That's where I'll be. And then Sunday, they will be taking me home in a hearse.
Yeah.
I will be hanging out with Casey Kasem on Sunday. So
you can wherever
see,
he is.
You can see me there. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, still number one. $36 million it made this weekend. Then The Purge, Anarchy.
How was that, Kevin?
Did not see it.
What?
What? Did not see
it. You're the target audience for The Purge.
Yeah.
You are.
I sort of wanted to.
The Purge Master General.
I'm not right. The Purge Master General.
You're what the happened?
Purge Master General. Am I? I yes. Didn't realize that was my title.
I would have gone to Las Vegas and put $1,000 down on Kevin seeing The Purge this weekend. Wouldn't you, Ralph?
I would have gone to Ladbrokes 30 years ago and said, Kevin will go see The Purge Anarchy when it comes out in 30 years at 501 odds.
I feel like man. I don't even know you anymore.
I was a little sick this weekend, so I didn't really get out much.
Being sick never stops you from doing anything.
Well,
that's why
true.
You stay sick for 2 months.
That could be true.
Planes, Fire and Rescue was third, then Sex Tape in its debut made $15 million. That meant at number four, Transformers Age of Extinction, Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Maleficent, and Earth to Echo were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. This weekend, sadly, Jim Rockford, Brett Maverick, all those characters he played, James Garner passed away on Saturday. The age of 86, quite a life this guy had. Left a small hometown in Oklahoma when he was 14 because his alcoholic father was abusing him. He moved to California. Didn't know what he wanted to do. Ended up going to Hollywood High. Became a model, oddly enough. Then he went off to fight in the Korean War. When he came back, after earning 2 Purple Hearts, he decided to try his hand at acting. And the rest is history. Passed away at 86 this past weekend. Rumor has it that Kim Kardashian is not that happy being Mrs. Kanye West.
Really?
Yeah. He apparently is
temperamental and controlling. Who could have seen that
what?
Coming?
What? Kanye?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Seems
so easygoing.
RadarOnline.com claims he installed a GPS device on Kim's phone so he can track her at all times and see where she is.
What the hell?
To check in on
That's
her whereabouts.
That's a bad sign,
at
people.
At all times.
That's a bad sign.
Well, he's got to know where she is.
No, he doesn't.
Where's the press at? So I want to know.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga showed maybe more than she intended over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that Instagram photo where she was on a plane. She posted a picture saying, I'm listening to Miles Davis. It's her looking into the camera. What she didn't realize was that her blouse was open and everybody was looking at her her can.
Booby!
That was sort of dangling there in the...
it was just sort of hanging there.
In the plane, in the cockpit.
For all to see.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But, really?
Yeah, that's what it was.
We've seen her boobs a lot already.
Agreed.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Listen to you. Huh, I'm so tired of boobs. The one guy's like, I saw a commercial with this thing and I had to... Isn't that great? Tired of seeing boobs? Don't act all blasé, Bean.
No, look.
Boobs are always good.
Boobs are the best thing
in
the world.
You're the guy tunes in to watch a girl tell the weather on a channel wearing a sweater.
That's
because you can't stop looking at her boobs. They're not even naked boobs. You can't stop looking at it.
Have you seen Evelyn Taft since she came back from maternity leave on Channel 2? My Lord, you're with me, right, Muggs?
Confirm the creepy.
She's unbelievable. Look, it's fine. I'm glad Lady Gaga, I'm glad her boob popped out. That's fine. But I'm just saying, we've seen her boob like 800 times at this point. It's hard. It's almost not even news at this point.
Who are you? And what have you done with Bean?
You can't go crazy over a weather girl's boobs in a sweater that you're obsessed about and then be blasé about naked boobs. It can't happen. Right. You cannot do it.
Fair point.
It's Monday, man. I'm already furious. It's going to happen. The time I see him in San Diego, blows are going to be thrown.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out together at Comic-Con, though, right, Ralph?
My bow is going to hang out with your dome. And it happened. I warned you. It happened in Kaminsky Park. Disco Demolition 2. Boom.
It didn't sound like it was going to be much of an event.
No, this happened.
Well, now, Kaminsky Park was the original 35 years ago, and then this new one was where? Where'd you say?
Charleston, South Carolina? Yeah, where the River Dogs were playing. Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. Music and memorabilia were blown up. Right there on the field. It was a sellout crowd. People wanted to see stuff blow up.
Sure.
And it was a good day for the River Dogs. They beat the Green Jackets 9-7.
So close.
Took on the Green Jackets. Powerhouse in whatever sport that is that they play.
By the way, 9-7 in baseball. There's some offense there.
Yeah. Maybe we're watching the wrong league.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I should watch the...
go to the minor leagues. The
Triple D's or whatever they got down there. And Brian Wilson's working on a new solo album. Oh, good. That should be good music. The former Beach Boy said he was writing songs for a new Beach Boys album when the Beach Boys said, we don't really want to do anything with you anymore. So he scrapped all those songs and started to write fresh. He's got a new album full of songs. He's invited Lana Del Rey, Kacey Musgraves, and Zooey Deschanel to sing on the songs. Frank Ocean, the rapper, does vocals for another song. Fun frontman, Nate Roos, sings on one of the tracks. And so there's a ton of guest stars on this album. It'll be out in the fall. You can hear new Brian Wilson music.
I am excited for that album. I am looking forward to it. Brian, do you have any thoughts about it?
I decided to make a new music because it was a good meal that was provided in the recording studio, and everybody got a burrito.
I like it.
I can see why.
And Marley Matlin, are you going to be listening to the new Brian Wilson album?
It's so exciting. I'm very happy.
And Kevin, how about you?
I like the music, and it probably going to be loud music, so I will enjoy it and listen. Oh, stupid, absurd, ridiculous, dumb.
We are Mixed Nuts. Thank you. Tip your waitresses. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cat Stevens is 66. Robin Williams is 63. Allie Landry celebrates her 41st birthday. Josh Hartnett and actor Justin Bartha both turn 36 years old today. And center for your LA Clippers, DeAndre Jordan, celebrates 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Premiered that earlier this morning. That is brand new Weezer. Back to the Shack is the name of that. We just interviewed the band in the 7 o'clock hour, which is awesome. You can get that and the song, I believe, at 8:30 this morning at krock.com.
You want to try that
again? Take two, krock.com.
Speaking of krock.com, another good idea for you to go to the website is to sign up to win the 2014 Dodge Challenger and a trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card with the brand new K-Rock summer sticker. Get all the details. Don't forget, you can pick up your sticker at any Southern California Hot Topic location. Muggs, where are you going to be this afternoon?
168 Los Cerritos Center in Cerritos. We got Black Keys, Arcade Fire, 311, and LA Galaxy tickets.
Fantastic. The Hot Topic in Cerritos to beat Beer Mug and get your sticker and
beat
win all that
mug?
Good stuff.
Yeah, he said beat Beer Mug, and I think
beat Beer Mug.
No, that's fine.
I think
too.
Beat is correct.
I agree. Beat is good.
Yes.
So a few minutes ago, we were talking about the movies at the box office, and we were all stunned to find out that Kevin did not go see The Purge.
How dare you?
I've been very sick, and so I have had to go take rest.
But you love to infect people wherever you go, Kevin.
I do like to spread the germs.
Brazilian AIDS,
but
right?
I had resting home all weekend.
How did the trailer, because you felt like you were burned by the first Purge, how did the trailer for the second Purge look to you?
Great.
Look good. I thought this was the first movie should be.
Okay.
For that.
All right, Kevin is a guy who has very specific items that he's looking for in a movie trailer, and I understand it's time for another Kevin's Trailer Park. We're going to find out what else is coming out this summer we should go see.
Stupid, dumb, absurd. Stupid, dumb, absurd. That's what you'll say if your movie's not too loud. Stupid, dumb, absurd. Stupid, dumb, absurd. Who needs a storyline? Just make it loud. And now it's time for Kevin's Trailer Park.
Yes, that's what makes movies good, is loud.
Sure, and everyone knows that.
I want to talk about trailers I saw for other movies coming out this summer that some look good and some look stupid, dumb,
all right,
absurd.
Party Bus Kevin, what do you got for us?
First good movie is Expendables 3. Expendables 3 in August 15, August come out. And it was Expendables, Sylvester Stallone, and Jason Statham.
Statham, right.
Jet Li.
Lee.
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren?
All this looks so good because it's very loud and much are shooting. Much are dying.
Much are dying.
Much
yes,
are dying. This is trailer for Expendables 3.
We started this whole Expendables thing together, but we had a falling out.
What are you gonna do?
Reload.
Hey, Barney, you should have killed me while you had the chance. You want the kids? Come get them.
You were stupid enough to get yourself into this mess. We're the only ones crazy enough to get you out of it.
How hard can it be to kill 10 men?
What do you think, Party Bus Kevin?
Good. That is the best movie ever! It's for the shooting and music and Mel Gibson is probably drunk. It's so good. It's the greatest movie that ever will be, and everyone should buy a seat everywhere for it.
Any movie where the strategy is reloading is a movie that's perfect for Party Bus Kevin.
Shoot a go bombing good, everyone dies.
So that's a yes for Expendables 3.
Shoot me an Oscar. Shoot me an
Oscar. And you have one more movie in the trailer park this week.
Yes, stupid, dumb, absurd movie. about a girl. Not, is she dead? Is she not really dead? No, you can't tell. I can't tell because it's stupid, dumb, absurd. If I Stay is called in theaters on August 22.
Kids, be careful out there. Here it gets pretty wild. It's symphony.
Oh!
Symphony. Isn't it amazing music? How life is one thing and then in an instant it becomes something else?
Stupid.
The girl who thinks about the cello and Adam and just
cello.
Like that.
Cello, stupid. What? What happens?
I think she died. I think she's a car accident.
No, you think so?
Mom,
no, she doesn't.
Daddy.
Oh, I'm dead. I'm not dead. I'm ghost.
Am I dying?
Use the secret, baby. If you live, if you die, it's all up to you.
Oh.
Whatever fight you got in you,
so
you gotta
slow.
Roll it out now.
This is so slow.
Kids, wait. Touching piano music, though, Kevin.
Sometimes you make choices.
Oh, more cello.
Sometimes choices.
Where's rapping music?
You like me better.
Yes. The you you are now is the same you I was in love
shoot
with
her!
Yesterday. The same you.
Someone shoot
now.
Her.
He's already dead.
I'm still here.
But there's no guns.
I'm crazy in love with you. Please stay.
Oh, crying. Stupid crying.
She's balancing between life and death, though, trying to decide whether she's coming back or
I
not.
I wish I was dead when I watched this movie. I wish I was balancing between death and death.
Not enough body count in this film? Just one young woman?
And she's not even really die. When does she shoot someone? Yell,
I don't think there's any shooting.
Or bombing. Never.
So
stupid,
this movie had
dumb,
you
absurd.
Had your cello.
Cellos, classical music, die, everyone in this. I stupid hate you.
So you're
stupid
in?
Stupid movie show. I hate it, and everyone should not go, because first go shoot Expendables movies.
Okay, Expendables sounds like the pick. Thanks, Party Bus Kevin.
Kevin's Trailer Park! Park. Kevin's Trailer Park!
Ladies and gentlemen, from Bakersfield, California, Gabriel Iglesias!
I am so self-conscious. I don't want anyone to smell me that I meet and all of a sudden have them say, Fluffy smell like ass. Hell no. I know I'm a big guy. That's why I do double the maintenance. Twice the showers, twice the cologne, twice the deodorant, twice the powder. If I fart right now, this whole area will smell like cinnamon. I get inside of Walgreens, I don't even have a clue as to where to find a pregnancy test. I'm looking at all the aisles, they don't have one that says, oops. TMZ finds out I beat my son, are you kidding me? They'll have me on TV the next day. Uh-oh, looks like chocolate cake isn't the only thing he beats up. For the record, I'm not fat, I'm fluffy.
Call him Gabriel, call him Fluffy. All the ladies say, oh, he's so sexy. And that's all you need. Raise up your hands and do the Fluffy.
Do the Fluffy.
Indeed, he is one of America's most popular comedians, making hard to believe his first ever appearance on The Kevin and Bean Show. Please welcome Gabriel Iglesias. He is Fluffy.
That
hey, Fluff, how are you, man?
That has got to be the most amazing intro I've ever had on radio.
Well, that's good, because you've done a lot of press recently.
That was very cool. Thanks, you guys.
Sure. It's great to have you. I can't believe, as I said, this is the first time we've ever had you on. I can't believe it, because you're local.
I'm a local guy.
Mostly raised in and living in Long Beach most of your life, right?
Absolutely. I think Brad Williams took all my spots.
Yeah, probably. That could be. Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm always listening to you guys. I always hear, if Brad's in there again?
Yeah.
They must lock him up and keep him under the desk.
He's actually a member of our show. Yeah, he gets paid.
Sweet.
Has Long Beach changed a lot over the years as far as, is it very different now than it was when you were a kid? Because it sounds like it was pretty rough when you were growing up.
Well, when I was, I still live there now, but I was living in the rough part of town. I lived on the borderline between East Side and West Side. Yeah. So all the gangs would always get into fights on my block
because
that was the dividing line. Now I live in Signal Hill, up on the mountain. It's very wonderful, with a breathtaking view of the hood.
Was there ever a time, and you were raised predominantly by a single mom, was there ever a time where you were in danger of going to the dark side and we might not have a Fluffy here today with us?
You know what? That was a daily routine where it's like my mom was always trying to keep me indoors. You know, she's mm-hmm. like, you know, mijo, you're not going to play con Joker and Spider. You get inside. And she would give me cable and, you know, she saw the writing on the wall and she's like, you know what? He's not going to go out there. My mom saw somebody get killed right across the street from our house. So
well,
it's like,
that'll do it.
You know, that will definitely do it. But at the time, it's like financially, that's what we could do. And, you know, my mom just did the best she could do with what she had. And for the longest time, I didn't even know we were in a bad situation. You know, you don't know that you're in a bad situation if that's all you know.
That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I guess
nothing
so.
To compare it to. Mm-hmm. And did she plop you down in front of the TV with a large quantity of candy, if you get my meaning?
I think it's just the fact that she was always, you know, if he's eating, he's happy, he's smiling, and if he's watching TV, he's out of trouble.
Right.
And so she'd let me have friends come over the house, and she'd feed the hell out of everybody. But, yeah, that was my routine. I mean, we were always doing mini drills. My mom would drill me as far as, like, if you ever hear a car speeding and you hear gunfire, you got to hit the floor.
Wow.
We actually had to have, like, little – you know, at school they have those
– the earthquake drills.
Yeah, drills. So that, I was like, that's nothing, man. Yeah. Wait till somebody's shooting up the building.
No way. Oh, my God.
Now, Fluffy, when you walked in here this morning, and I'm sure you hear this every time you go out and meet people – I was shocked how you're not nearly as big as I thought you were.
That's what she said. Okay, no.
Sorry. Is that commonplace where people, especially since so many of your clips have been so popular, millions of views on YouTube, we're used to seeing you way bigger than you are right now? I mean, you look good.
Thank you. I'm down about 105 pounds.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was not easy. It took someone telling me I was going to die for me to finally wake up and do something about it.
For reals?
Was that somebody a doctor?
Somebody was a doctor. Mm. It was a few years ago, and you know, I'm type 2 diabetic.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm type 2 diabetic, and I was waking up with a sugar level of like 300 plus daily. And you can't do that on the regular because, I mean, my legs were swollen. They were turning purple. My fingertips, I couldn't feel them.
Wow.
My eyesight started going a little fuzzy, and my kidneys are shot right now.
Oh, wow, that's all scary.
Yeah. And I'm only 38, so it's, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So so what's the reaction been like from your fans? And the reason I ask is because I suspect that part of the reason so many people identify with you, besides the stories you tell, is they go, hey, this guy's just like me. And now they see you getting all buff, and do they think you're kind of leaving them behind?
Absolutely not. I mean, you got to figure, I maxed out at 445. You know, anytime I'm at a blackjack table and somebody goes, hey, Ralphie May, how you doing? I'm like, wow. Okay, that hurts. You know, I could handle George Lopez, but now you're judging me on a whole different scale.
445, does that make every day just a struggle to do regular things?
Absolutely. But you know what? I was very comfortable in my skin.
You were at 445?
I was very confident. I mean, you know, there's certain things obviously are a little more challenging. When I'd fly, I'd have to buy two seats. I couldn't really get on roller coasters, but, you know, that was one thing I really enjoyed doing was going to the parks and having fun. And, yeah, getting kicked off Batman the Ride is not fun.
That's not
it's not fun.
That's not ideal.
But
How'd you lose it, Fluffy? Because that's really impressive. There are a lot of people who need to lose 100 pounds, but it's very different to say than to do.
A buddy of mine named Diamond Dallas Page, who's a former professional wrestler, now turned yoga guru.
I know. I have a DDP. Yoga DVD. I absolutely do.
You do?
Yep.
I met him at the Roddy Piper podcast, and I walked up to him, and he seemed very approachable, and I says, listen, man, here's my situation. Any words of advice? And he goes, listen, bro, I know who you are. I can be at your house tomorrow. I can get you started. And he comes to my house, guts my pantry, and then next thing you know,
you're like, no.
It wasn't as bad as I thought because, right. I mean, most of the time I spent on the road, so he really pissed off my girlfriend is what he did. Because she was the one that's like, hey, that's my stuff.
Hey, those are my Pop-Tarts. I can eat those.
But, yeah, he took me over to Whole Foods, and he says, listen, bro, this is how you need to be eating. And then he got me started on his workout program. And in 3 months, I was down 60 pounds.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
So he's the one that got the ball rolling, to no pun intended. And then after that, I started, you know, doing a lot of cardio with the treadmill, walking an hour a day, 3 miles a day, and then started weight training and stuff like that. So that's I needed something to get me going, and he really helped me out. And so
but
I all
being
the guy
on the road, that's the tough part, right?
Yeah, because being consistent on the road is very challenging because sometimes you got to wake up really early. You're always on a flight. You're always going here. You're always going there. You're at this hotel, that motel, this train station, that bus station. So trying to
it's impossible to eat well under those circumstances.
Because you don't know what's around you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really got to pre-plan that far ahead. And so most of the time I spend eating at Chipotle because, you know what, I recognize the ingredients and it's, you know, it's like, okay, I'll get the chicken bowl. I'll get the salad bowl with the steak in it. So it's like it's the same meals. Right. But
it's a real testament to you that you were able to do it and keep it off. And it looks like you're still losing. So that's very impressive. Fluffy is here. Gabriel Iglesias here on The Kevin Bean Show. The Fluffy movie is available in theaters everywhere on this Friday. It looks hilarious. We're going to talk a lot more about it with our guests when we return right after this on Kevin. It is Fluffy time is what it is. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The Fluffy movie comes out this Friday. We got a clip from the film, and I think those will give you a pretty good idea of what you get when you buy your ticket.
23 countries.
Everybody can relate to what he talks about.
They don't see a fake guy. They see their cousin, their neighbor.
Over 500,000 tickets sold worldwide.
More than a quarter of a billion YouTube views. One Hawaiian shirt.
I started doing yoga, and I know that sounds like a joke right there.
He means yogurt.
No, yoga. I started dancing. My son is like, you're fat. Your fat's going everywhere. Well, guess what? This fat makes your mom horny.
Oh, nobody wants to hear that.
No kid ever wants to hear that.
Do not talk about my mom being horny ever.
That's called aggressive parenting.
Yeah, you don't want to think about your parents having sex ever. They might have done it the one time you were conceived, but that's it. Doing a concert movie, very few comedians are able to be at this level where they can put out a movie like this. I mean, that's pretty impressive, right, Fluffy?
It's very surreal because it's like as a comedian, the Holy Grail has always been like the HBO special or the Comedy Central special.
Right.
But, you know, this is like you can't even imagine that this is a goal.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to go back to Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, the Kings of Comedy, Martin Lawrence, you know, and now recently
there've
Kevin
been,
Hart.
Yeah, so there have been very few.
Very few.
Wow.
It is, and there's a little bit of pressure behind it, you know, especially being the first brown one.
That might help you, though, right?
It might help, but at the same time, it's like it's one of those I really need for this film to do well because it's just going to present more opportunities in the future for other up and coming.
You should do some publicity for it.
A little bit.
You should get out and go into some cities and do some interviews.
I think I'm going to go out there.
You talk a lot about your real life. What's that like as a family man, as someone with a wife and a kid and parents and the whole deal? Have you run into any of those situations where you've gotten some dynamic trouble with the family because of things you talk about? Or
basically, I'm now down to my girlfriend, my son, a couple chihuahuas, a snake, my niece, and one sister that still associate with me. Everyone
still
else,
talk to you.
Everyone else,
everyone
has
else
you off.
Basically, that's the deal.
Is that true?
I haven't really talked. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
I haven't talked to anybody, and it is a bummer. It's one of those things, though. It's like, it's part of the territory. They everybody thinks that I've changed, and I'm like, no, I haven't changed. It's weird.
You're just doing your best to make your situation funny.
Yeah.
But you've got a lot of brothers and sisters that you don't talk to at all, right?
I have one brother and four sisters. Actually, I have six sisters, two sisters I've never met that live in Mexico. But, unfortunately, the relationships just, it got a little bit awkward, especially after my mom passed. There was no real reason to keep putting
She's
myself through this.
She's the one that kind of kept you guys.
Yeah, even though, together. My mom wasn't the most positive person, at least she did keep us talking to each other.
Right.
But I would think... And, maybe this is just my ignorance. I would think just based on the fact that you're Fluffy, they would want to be in touch with you. You know what
you
I mean?
Usually, because of the fame?
Yeah, usually there are relatives who go, if they have somebody famous in the family, they want to, they want to get some of that reflected glory a little bit or worse, money.
That did happen. That did happen on both levels, a little bit with the fame and a little bit with the money. I don't want to put them exactly specifically on blast, but there was a few situations where it got uncomfortable.
Give us their names.
How much do they want?
It gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It does. It's like, and you want to help, but at the same time, you don't want to feel like you're being taken advantage of either.
Right. Of course not.
Like, can you help with this? Can you help with that? And, if you could only do this or if you could only do that. And it's like, a lot of times I would just go out of my way to say, before they ask, here, let me just do this. And then I thought that I was being more than generous with what I was doing. And then it comes back with, if we could get just some more.
That's too bad.
That seems rough.
You have talked about the unusual circumstances of your actual biological mother and father meeting in Mexico and being a couple but not being able to live in the same country. Your dad wanted to stay in Mexico. Your mom wanted to stay with you in the United States. So you didn't have contact with your father for a very, very long time, right? And then just randomly out of the blue, he shows up to see you do comedy one night?
Yes.
Did that just wreck you?
Oh, man, that destroyed me that night. I was at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Was that a great show or a terrible show?
You know what? I didn't know he was there.
Oh,
so
you didn't?
I didn't know he was there. But there was one of the servers comes up to me. She goes, listen, Gabe, are we taking care of your dad's tab in the back? I go, what are you talking about, my dad? I haven't seen my dad in over 30 years. And I didn't even give it a second thought because I just figured it's somebody trying to get the free, the free drinks and stuff.
Right. And there are a lot of people named Iglesias in town.
A lot of Jesuses, man. So after the show was over, I'm outside taking pictures and signing DVDs, and that's when my dad tried to approach me.
What did he say?
He didn't get to me. He was in line, and my manager spotted him, and then she went and confronted him and got his information, and then I realized it was really him, and then I just lost it.
Well, that's so freaky.
You haven't seen the guy in over 30 years. Last time you saw him, you were a kid, and he was able to pick you up. Yeah. You know, and that's it was hard. It was really hard. And then we wound up hooking up with them the following day.
What do you mean by hooking up?
Well, we
you want to explain that?
We got his information, and, and my girlfriend, you know, called him up and said, "Listen, you know, we need to get together so we can talk before this, you know, gets even weirder." So yeah. we got together the following day at the club, and we had dinner and we talked, and you know, we got the communication going.
Everybody who has had a parent leave or have their parents not stay together and not have a good relationship with them always walks around their whole lives with questions they want to ask. Was it in fact rewarding to be able to ask those questions, or did you still walk out of that dinner that night still feeling unsatisfied?
I did feel like a lot of the questions, I mean, I had a lot of the information, but I got confirmation that day that all the information I got was accurate.
Was accurate.
And that, I think, for me was the best part.
Were you happy that that happened?
I was after the fact, because I always had that chip on my shoulder, and I still kind of in a weird way do, but, you know, things happen for a reason. Maybe if you would have been in my life, I wouldn't have had the issues that I had, which caused me to become a comedian. You never know. It's that whole butterfly.
You would have been well-adjusted, and then you wouldn't be having a career that you
have. Comedians are not well-adjusted.
Correct. No, because seriously, if you're well-adjusted, what kind of a good comic are you?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear about how you pay your bills on time and how you're never in you know, your relationship's always perfect and right. everything's good. No.
Do you guys stay in touch now?
You know what? We haven't spoken since my mom has passed. I think that I need to reach out to him now, especially because of the movie, because I do make so many references towards him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About him, I'm sorry. And so, yeah, I see it coming very, very soon.
And you have
you
somebody
know the movie opens Friday,
him.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, you got a call to make, Fluffy. I'm just saying it's –
He's in Mexico. Okay. I was not going to release there for a minute.
All right.
And you actually have somebody playing him in the film, right?
Yes. I have somebody playing him and someone playing my mom and someone playing me as a kid.
Oh, it's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving at your house this year. It's going to be awkward. In our remaining moments with the great Gabriel Iglesias, he is Fluffy. The Fluffy movie opens everywhere on Friday. What else do you want us to know about the film? You filmed it all at once. This is not added together a bunch of performances from all over the country, right? This is just one night, one stage in San Jose, right?
Yeah, it was one big show at the Shark Tank, which is where the San Jose Sharks play.
Right.
We did do two shows, but we went with the second one. We had over 18,000 people that came out to see the concert.
18,000 people?
Yeah.
That's you listen awesome. To yourself.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like WWE meets the Food Channel.
That's crazy.
We wanted to do something really, really big, and I'm the most proud of this project out of anything I've ever done, which is why I've been working so hard to push it and let people know about it.
It must be so satisfying for you, for a guy who's been working as a comedian for as long as you have, almost 20 years now, that you're still being introduced to new people all the time. New people are learning out about Fluffy today, for instance. There may be somebody listening right now who's not heard of you before and now is going to be a fan.
That's very cool. And you know what? Hey, I like being the new guy. Especially almost 18 years now in the game. So to be the new guy, it's great.
At 18 years, you're the movie looks guy. Terrific. It looks really, really funny, what we've been able to see from it so far. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Please go see it opening weekend. It is called The Fluffy Movie. Gabriel, enjoyed meeting you, man. I hope you have a chance to come back and see us sometime.
Definitely, you guys. Thank you so much. And it's finally an honor to be on the world famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
You're going to find this hard to believe because we're just now past half Christmas. But Fluffy has some live dates coming up. They wanted us to mention, I forgot when we had him on. December 26th, Gabriel Iglesias is playing at the Honda Center, also at the Nokia at LA Live on the 27th and 28th. You can get tickets at fluffyguy.com. If you're making your holiday plans now, you can get tickets to go see Gabriel Iglesias in concert. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in movie theaters over the weekend. And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was the winner yet again, besting three brand new films. People still went to see Caesar and his clan take on those stupid humans, ruining everything with their hydroelectric dam. $36 million is what the movie made this weekend, making it number one. Behind that was The Purge Anarchy. Second in the Purge franchise, made $28.4 million. Planes, Fire and Rescue, the sequel to the first Planes movie, made $18 million for the kids. Sex Tape, $15 million. Made it number four. Transformers Age of Extinction made $10 million at number five. Then Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Maleficent, and Earth to Echo were your top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. A TV and movie star James Garner passed away Saturday night in his home here in Los Angeles. Of course, he was the star of the wildly popular TV series The Rockford Files. Had another hit series before that called Maverick, where he played a Western, Old West con man, card player. He was also a feature film star in movies like The Notebook and Murphy's Romance and Victor Victoria. Very talented guy, and by all accounts, a real stand-up guy, too. He was one of the actors who went down to Washington to march for civil rights in the 60s. He fought for actors' rights, breaking the studio system. When he left his Warner Brothers contract, he sued Universal Studios for screwing him out of money for the Rockford Files and won those lawsuits. He was a guy who stood up for the little guy and took on a lot of bullies, even when it might have been detrimental to his career. He seemed to want to do what was right more than what was easy. And everyone who worked with him said he treated everyone with respect, especially the crew and the extras that he would work with and stuff. Hard to find a better guy in Hollywood than James Garner. Passed away at the age of 86.
A lot of people were sure mentioning The Great Escape this weekend as one of the all-time great movies. I don't remember ever seeing it.
What?
I'm sure I have. But I got to go back to it now that I've heard so much
that's
great stuff
like,
about it.
That's like dude movie 101 right there. You got to see The Great Escape.
Great Escape, yeah.
Surprise you, I haven't seen that either.
You haven't seen it either, no. Have you, Kevin?
No, I haven't. Should I?
Yes,
he
of
won't.
Course you should. I mean,
how
no,
dare you?
Never mind.
It has explosions in it, though.
Does it have explosions?
Yes,
yeah,
it's a
hell
war
yeah.
movie. It's a
war movie,
about
yeah.
POW camp.
I feel like I have. It's just been way too long, and now, in honor of Mr. Garner, I need to watch it again.
Garner's great in it. He made another great film about World War II called The Americanization of Emily. Not a lot of people saw it. Paddy Chayefsky wrote the screenplay for it. Him and Julie Andrews starred, and it's a great film. It was his favorite project he ever did, and it's really entertaining, so you might check that out as well. Kevin won't see that. It's in black and white. But The Great Escape's in color, Kevin, so you can go see that one. Speaking of actors who passed away, this was tragic and strange and disturbing. An actress named Sky Bartusiak, best known for playing Mel Gibson's little daughter in The Patriot, is dead at the age of 21.
Oh,
ouch.
Yeah, they're not sure.
Wow.
She did suffer from recurring epileptic seizures, but there's no cause of death has been determined yet. She was a child actress who starred in The Patriot, as I mentioned, also Cider House Rules, Don't Say a Word, Lost, House, CSI. She worked a ton. Passed away this weekend at the age of 21, so still waiting to see what the cause of death was there, but it was tragic for her to go so young.
Wow.
Over the weekend on Sunday, Sci-Fi had a special about aliens on the moon. The Truth Exposed, a two-hour documentary event.
Why are you doing air quotes when you
say
documentary?
Because there's no aliens on the moon. That's why.
Says you.
You don't know, man.
I wasn't there. Buzz Aldrin was there, and he says there were aliens on the moon.
This is true. This is what he says
this
for real.
What he said.
60 seconds.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
What I understand is, why didn't he say,
yeah,
Houston, there's a bright light that seems to be following us. Just thought you should know. Just a little heads up.
Why yeah, didn't he say we were smart enough not to?
In case we don't come back and they shoot us down with laser beams or something, at least you know what was happening. Why
yeah,
lying?
You,
why is lying to the government so smart, Buzz Aldrin, you communist bastard?
I would expect my man in the field to give me accurate notes
yes.
from space.
Since it's the first time we're up there and all.
Right.
Kind of a big deal. I would like to know everything that's happening, Buzz Aldrin. Don't keep your little secrets.
But to your point, Ralph, there are no aliens on the moon, right?
No, there are no aliens on the moon. So whatever that light was. It wasn't aliens on the moon.
And you I'm know sure that there were, because? Oh,
because there are no aliens on the moon.
Oh, okay.
That's how I know that.
Got yeah, it. I think we've pretty much seen the moon at this point, and I think we would be
what
able to tell.
What about the dark
side? Being...
You don't know, man.
That's true. I don't know.
Oh, I'm so tired. You lying about the aliens on the moon.
Just remember, every time you look up at the moon, I, too, will be looking at a moon. Not the same moon. Obviously, that's impossible.
All right. It's impossible. The next season of American Horror Story is in the works, and it sounds like it could star Neil Patrick Harris. Wouldn't that
All
be
right.
cool?
He could do anything.
Neil told Entertainment Weekly that he'd written a letter to co-creator Ryan Murphy asking to be on the new season of the FX series. It's about a freak show.
Love it.
Yeah. Could be cool, because freak shows are creepy.
That's a good show. They change. Every season is a completely different season.
Yeah, it's the new premise. The first one was about ghosts and sort of a haunted house. The second one was about the witch's coven.
Yep.
And this upcoming season is going to be about a freak show, apparently, with some weird, twisted, evil people inside that. So Neil Patrick Harris said he wants to be involved. And so he contacted the creator, and he's hoping that they get a chance to work together. That'd be cool. More TV news. Casting for the last season of Sons of Anarchy gets odder and odder. Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson will be having guest starring roles this season. And now it looks like Malcolm Jamal Warner, probably best known to everyone as Theo from The Cosby Show, will be joining the cast as a biker, a member of the Grim Bastards, right-hand man to T.O. Cross, played by Michael Beach. His character's name? Sticky. You don't want to mess with Sticky.
No, you don't.
Because bad things happen. You walk sticky. Away sticky, too. What I've heard. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Cat Stevens is 66 years old today. Actor Robin Williams. Robin Williams. I'm 63. No. John Lovitz is 57 years old today. Allie Landry is 41. Josh Hartnett and Justin Bartha both celebrate their 36th birthdays. And singer Taco. It's Taco's birthday.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz.
He is 59 years old today. Oh,
I had about probably 8 Taco Bell tacos. I could crush a little bit more. How many tacos can you crush from Taco Bell?
Thanks, Mugs.
Different kind of taco, Mugs. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, you're not allowed to go to Brazil anymore.
I don't have any plans.
You have the Brazil AIDS, and it's going to kill you. You have to get better.
I'm nothing but good.
By the way, if you can't wait till the next time we play the new Weezer song for you here on K-Rock, you can go to krock.com. It is posted along with highlights from the interview with the boys stopping by later this morning. Speaking of interviews.
Take two.
We thought we'd be speaking with Mr. Landon Donovan from your Los Angeles Galaxy about 2 hours ago. Instead, not so much, but I believe we have him on the line right now. Hey, Landon, what's going on, man?
Guys, my apologies. I apologize. I would never do that to you guys. You know that.
All right. You're generally very reliable, but we heard that you had an electronics mishap. What can you tell us?
You want the full story?
Yes.
Okay. So we're flying back from Kansas City the other night. We play this game on our phones through Bluetooth, all the guys on the team, called Super Stickman Golf. And I really had to go to the bathroom, but we're in the middle of this game, and it's a race each hole to try to finish first. So
that answered my question, which is why you would bring your phone into a bathroom.
Right. So I'm standing in the bathroom. It's after the game. I'm a little tired, long flight. Standing there. Next thing I knew, phone slips out of my hand against the side of the wall into the toilet. They have those little flaps on the airplane toilets. It hit that flap. It was heavy.
Yeah.
I started to reach down, plopped right through the bottom.
Oh.
Did you keep reaching?
So my first instinct was I kind of moved the flap a little bit, which, you know, was not one of my finer moments.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I looked down thinking maybe it's just sitting there, but there was a lot of, let's just say, fluid in there. And I decided it was best to just cut my losses there.
Yeah, you might have cut your losses one instant before that, even.
Yeah, before you.
It sucks. You know. I mean, we're so dependent on our phones now. We use them for everything. But the good news is most of your personal information these days is backed up on the cloud. So when you get a new phone, if you haven't already, you get all your contacts and photos and things like that back at least, right?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, so yesterday was my mom's birthday. I went out home and spent the day with my mom, and I was going to get a new phone today. And then I realized I had this call, and so it's just this whole mess this morning. And,
sweet.
My apologies. But, you know, it is one of those things where you realize just how dependent we are, and we sort of talk about it, but then when you lose your phone for a day, it causes you some anxiety. But then also by the end of the day, I was like, wow, this is really nice. I mean, this is back to the old days. Did you have to worry about things.
But did you find yourself, which I do a lot, which is, oh, I should do this. Oh, I should do that. And they all involve the phone. And you
totally.
Oh, I still don't have a phone. Oh, you're know
like,
what
I'm
I should call
about
some
my mail. Right. And I'm like, oh, what's the weather tomorrow? And you just realize how much
about 20 times during the day you think about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so hopefully
that,
you'll be.
Was that the worst excuse you guys have ever
heard?
Well,
it's up there.
Yeah.
But it's understandable. Look, all of it. I dropped my phone in my dog's water dish once. So, I mean, look, it's you drop them. And you know, soccer players aren't good with their hands anyway, so you have an excuse a little bit.
Which begs the question, what were you doing with your phone over your dog's water dish?
Well, you know, you multitask. Yeah, you know how it is.
It's better than in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so, Landon, the reason we wanted to talk to you is you guys are back from Kansas City. You do have kind of a – well, I mean, for us as the fans, it's fun to see these international clubs come in and play the friendly. What's it like for you guys? It doesn't count or anything, but do you get up for a game like this one Wednesday against Manchester United?
Yeah, definitely. And as you get older and play more of these games, the shine comes off a little bit each time. But still, when you play in front of – probably 60,000+ people in the Rose Bowl against a team like Manchester United, there's still, you're human and you still get excited. And for our younger guys, it's super, super exciting. You never know if you're going to get a chance like that again. So I think everyone enjoys it. It's going to be a really fun night.
Tell us about playing Manchester United. You were at Everton for a while and you played them. They've won 20 titles. I mean, is there a mystique right that comes with them?
Well, they're kind of like, I guess the Yankees would be in baseball, how they have a, not only a tradition, but an expectation of winning. And so every player that goes there, especially English or British players, fully understand the responsibility that they hold. So even in these preseason games where you would think, oh, maybe they take it easy and it's preseason, they've got a new coach. So everyone's trying to impress the new coach. They've got a number of new players in the side that are looking to impress. So I think it's going to be really, really good game on Wednesday.
When we were speaking of this earlier, and this is the voice of Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy on the Kevin Bean Show right now, we were talking about how Manchester United comes to town, and it's like a World Cup all-star team. They've got like a dozen players who we saw playing for the various countries, you know, in Brazil last month, and it's just, it's an amazing opportunity to get a chance to see that many great guys up close and in person.
It's incredible, and for all of us who watched the World Cup this summer, you see a number of these guys scoring great goals or making great plays, or even some guys on teams you wouldn't normally watch much. You see how much of an impact they have during the World Cup, and then it makes you realize just how special a team like Manchester United is when you're going to see a lot of these same faces playing on Wednesday night.
When you play them Wednesday night, is it going to be a Manchester United fan base? Is it going to be overwhelmingly Manchester United, or will it be Galaxy?
That's a good question. I think a lot of times what we get in these games is we just see people who love soccer and just want to see a great game. We're going to have a number of Galaxy fans, obviously, that
of course
want to go out and see our team play. And it also gives our fans a chance to see some of the guys who don't get to play as much, some younger guys at the end of the game get some minutes that normally wouldn't get minutes, so it's exciting for them. And then you get a number of course, Manchester United diehard fans, but then you get casual soccer fans who just want to go out and be entertained and have a good night. So these matches are always fun. People love them. The players love them. You know, they're not, it's not a World Cup final, but it's also not just a walkthrough. So it's going to be a good game.
Tell me about, I'm sorry, go ahead, Beat.
I was just going to add to that when you mentioned the World Cup that I can't imagine that every team at the MLS is not getting a second half bump as a result of how well the men's team did down there. I mean, you guys brought in a lot of, you know, new fans. So you must be seeing that, right?
Yeah, you just see you see people talking about it, you see people intrigued by the sport, and then when you follow up the World Cup with a summer like this where you have a number of players, not only American players, but a number of players from around the world that played in the World Cup that now play in Major League Soccer, and you get a bunch of good games against European teams that are in their preseason that come to America to play against us. It's just good. It's you know, the only other real sport going on right now is baseball, and so it gives people an alternative to go out and enjoy what they just enjoyed for the last month and keep that going.
Tell me about one question about the Galaxy and you're flirting with getting into the playoffs. What's up with that?
We're doing well now. We started a little bit bumpy. We had until Saturday, we had an 8-game unbeaten streak, which propelled us up the standing. So we're in, I think, third place now, but we've played a few games less than everybody else. So this is a little bit of a welcome break this week where we just get to relax a little bit and play a game that doesn't mean as much. And then Monday we start up again. We play in Seattle, who is the best team in the league right now. So that'll be a real good challenge.
If you want to see the LA Galaxy versus Manchester United, and you should, it's an international friendly at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and it's going to be this Wednesday night at 7:30. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster.com. They are just $35. What a great time. Or you can win a pair right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 to the Kevin and Bean Show. You win a pair of VIP tickets to the event, including VIP parking and hospitality. Landon, go out and get yourself a new phone, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, I won't take the phone in the bathroom with me anymore.
All right, good tip.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Hey, Lisa. Hey, Lisa. Can I put my Hashimoto in your leaky gut? Yeah.
That is not sexy. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Yeah, I want to thank Brian Truitt from USA Today. And if you pick up the USA Today, but you get it today because they're having a big celebration for Batman's 75th anniversary. And Brian interviewed me for the piece, and I'm quoted throughout regarding Batman. So if you want to read what I have to say about Batman, you can pick up the USA Today today.
I bet you like Batman.
It turns out I do like him. But they talked to a bunch of us who have something to do with The Dark Knight, and it was kind of cool to be asked, and it was cool to be quoted. And I talk about the TV series, of course, and some other stuff, but... And even a little mention for KROQ in there, by the way, which they almost never do.
No.
Invariably, when they talk to anyone, it would be like, people who work at some random radio station say, and then they never get the call letters. But we got KROQ in there, so I was happy to see that. It is Comic-Con week.
Yes, it is.
Very excited for this. Sadly, Kevin and Bean now come along each and every year.
But by sadly, you mean it's the best thing ever.
Used to be back in the day, I would go down there and I would do the show from down there and report back to you guys.
I don't remember those days.
Yeah, that's how it started.
I remember that Beat and I would go down there. And then you would stay here.
No, that was never that way. It was the opposite. You would be here and I would be down there.
And we would try to talk you into going down sometimes and you would just mock it and say it was stupid.
And I would have interviews with people down there and I'd cover and I'd tell you what was going on. And then
it's not familiar to me.
Then I heard, I think we should be there too. Because they have good breakfast burritos or something. I don't know. Some reason Bean wanted to go. And then Kevin came down. Oh, those drinks, the parties? Oh, get me on the party list because I want to lay down with pits on my hands. And then now it's a whole thing. Now Thursday and Friday.
I don't always lay down with pizza in my hand. Just for the record. Mm-hmm. All right, sometimes I do.
Yeah, sometimes you steal cars or get on a party bus. But we're going to be down there Thursday and Friday. So if you're going to be down there as well, if you're attending the con this year, come out and see us. We're at the Hard Rock Hotel, and you'll find us, I don't know, some hallway, one of those places. We're
pretty much in the hallway.
We're the upper, you go into the lobby there, and then the next floor up is usually where we're broadcasting.
Over near the bathrooms is where they like to put us.
Well, sometimes, but look, we get to be at Comic-Con.
Agreed.
Real estate's at a premium.
Agreed.
Down there this weekend, so we're happy to be there at all. Come on, say hi. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what was number one. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes continues its dominance at the box office. $36 million it made this weekend.
You are not able.
That movie's so well done.
Brilliant. Really enjoyed it.
I wonder how many of these they'll make, Ralph.
I think they will make all.
Okay. How many original sequels were there? Do you remember?
Always get this wrong.
Like eight or nine?
No, I think there were six in the first series.
Five or six movies. Five. You had Planet of the Apes, Return to the Planet of the Apes, Beneath, Beyond.
On top of, underneath.
I think five. I think there were five.
Next door to looking in the rearview mirror.
Escape from.
Right.
I think that was five of the original franchise. And then, of course, there was the Tim Burton remake. Whew. Boy, was that bad.
It certainly wasn't as good as this one.
And then they did Rise with James Franco, which is sort of the reboot, and then this one, and looks like they've got the formula down. Looks like they know what they're doing now. So, second to the box office was The Purge: Anarchy, $28.4 million. Then Planes, Fire and Rescue, Sex Tape and Transformers were your top five movies at the box office. Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Maleficent and Earth to Echo were your top 10 movies at the box office. The TCAs are still going on. For those who don't know, it's the Television Critics Association. They have presentations. All the networks do presentations to the TV journalists and critics to tell them what's coming up for the new fall season. And they make their announcements regarding what's returning and what's been canceled. FX is in the barrel today. And they got on stage and announced that Fargo would be returning for a second season.
Oh, good.
However, it will be a la American Horror Story with a brand new cast and a brand new storyline. So you will not be seeing any of the people enjoyed in the first.
That seems like a difficult way to go, to relaunch every time.
It can give you a whole new set of opportunities to do a story, like it has with American Horror Story. They've been able to reinvent themselves each and every season, and people get excited about seeing the new storylines and the new characters. Of course, that show had recurring actors as well, like Jessica Lange would always participate in a brand new role. No word on the casting for this, but, you know, so it's maybe they'll bring back Colin Hanks, for example, and then bring in new people to populate the rest of the storyline.
That'd be cool.
We'll have to wait and see. But that has been renewed, and American Horror Story, again, is coming back with a freak show storyline.
By the way, FX is crushing it.
They're doing a great job.
They really are.
And Louis has been renewed for his show as well.
So. Not as funny as it used to be.
No, it's
it's kind of a bummer.
It's a downer.
Kind of a downer.
Show. Yeah, it's a drama
Did
now.
Did you guys like Married with Judy Greer and Nat Faxon? I thought it was very
much.
Funny.
I liked it very much. So there's a lot of good stuff going on over there at FX. Sad news over the weekend. You've heard by now that... TV icon James Garner has passed away. At the age of 86, star of such TV shows as Rock Files and Maverick. Also movies, Victor Victoria and The Notebook. And some other of my favorites that he did. The Great Escape. That's a great film.
Barbarians at the Gate, another one, by the way.
On HBO, he did some great work on television. Well, he did some great TV movies with James Woods. They did two together, which I thought were great. Promises and My Name is Bill W. So, a super talented guy, by all accounts, a real stand-up guy, too. Everyone who worked with him had nothing but nice things to say about what a class act he was. Passed away at the age of 86 this past weekend. They had a special yesterday on Sci-Fi because it was the anniversary of the moon landing. Of course, I have blocked Bean from Twitter, so I do not follow him. But was there a lot of Bean Moon tweets yesterday?
I do not also keep up to date.
Maybe we should ask the man himself. Did you tweet a lot about the moon yesterday, Bean?
I didn't. I was following the 45th anniversary celebrations. I saw some cool stuff on TV and online, but I did not myself add to the conversation.
And by add, you mean diminish, take away from.
What sort of celebrations were there?
You know, just a lot of specials on TV and, you know, news reports and interviews and things like that.
Well, the only one...
The whole series of videos on Buzz Aldrin's website himself with everybody from, you know, J.J. Abrams to, you know, just all sorts of people on just talking about what it was like and how they remember it and what an astonishing accomplishment it was. It was a nice tribute, I thought.
Speaking of Buzz, the only special that really mattered yesterday, of course, was the one on Sci-Fi, which finally exposed the truth of aliens on the moon. That's right. The channel that brought you other such real-life stories about the creatures they're trying to keep from us, like Sharknado and Sharktopus, has ripped open the lid on the story of the aliens on the moon.
What?
Showing actual pictures of the surface of the moon and pointing out things that sort of look like shapes of other things and saying, look at that! Couldn't that be a satellite dish? Would you say, no, it looks like a crater? And they
that's
go, no, it's aliens, and they're on the moon.
That doesn't sound like much of a documentary.
And Buzz Aldrin himself confirmed that he saw a UFO when he was on the moon.
60 seconds.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
That's right.
You don't want Houston to know what's going on in space.
No. You want to keep that to yourself, Buzz. When you're in the spaceship and you're reporting back to NASA Mission Control.
Doesn't it seem like that should lead?
Don't tell them what's happening in space.
That should be the lead. There's a weird light.
There are secrets that need to be kept.
Why?
Silence!
Doesn't it also seem... like the aliens, if they could get all the way to the moon from wherever their home planet is, that they would go ahead and just go the extra 30 seconds or however long it takes them to get to Earth?
No. Bean, you don't know anything about alien business.
Why are they sticking to the moon?
You don't know, man.
You don't know anything about alien technology business.
It's true.
What you do is you get an outpost. You get us like a spy location that we keep an eye on the Earth, but you don't actually have to be there.
Ah.
And this special claim, not only where there's a satellite dish there and something looks like a giant worm... Huh. And something that possibly could be a nuclear reactor, they claim, that was built by the aliens on the moon.
Okay. And we'll never know because we faked the moon landing.
No.
So it's not even like we can go up there and check it out.
It's real, but most of the stuff's on the dark side of the moon, so it's really hard to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pictures aren't so great. Sounds very reasonable to me.
The Truth Exposed was the name of the special.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So the truth was exposed.
Wild Guessing is what it should have been named.
That's right. Making S up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Cat Stevens is 66 years old today. You probably know some of his songs, right, Kevin? You know some of his?
I don't know.
Moonshadow, Peace Train was a big hit.
Wild World. Oh, I mean, no, Wild World.
Ooh, baby, it's Wild World.
Yeah, I've heard that. Didn't like it, but I heard it.
A lot of big hits.
Yeah. First Cut is the Deepest, when he wrote.
66 years old today. Actor Robin Williams is 63. Ellie Landry is 41. Remember the time we had Ellie Landry as our special guest and costume judge at one of our Halloween singles parties?
Yes, I do. Yep. Former Miss USA and Doritos spokesperson, if I recall.
Yep. Boy. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a good deal.
Boy.
Yeah.
She's 41 years old today. She was married to Mario Lopez for 8 minutes. Remember?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
He cheated on her at his bachelor party. And she found out about it like a week after the wedding.
Oh.
And said, not so much for you anymore. AC Slater.
So she's uptight.
Josh Hartnett's 36, as is actor Justin Bartha. But the reason we've been celebrating all day long is today, July the 21st, 59 years ago, was born the singular musical talent that is Taco.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with the stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits.
I got a taco right here.
All right then.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love fish tacos, but are they better than eating beef tacos?
The TCAs that Ralph mentioned are going on. Beer Mug went to the red carpet and got some interviews yesterday. So we're going to hear those tomorrow.
Wow. Why did we subject those people to that?
It is very Mugsy, is all I can tell you.
Great.
It's extremely Mugsy.
He's mugged up? Muglicious?
Speaking of mugs, Mugs, where are you going to be today?
Well,
are you going to sing it or are you going to rap it? Which one is it?
Well, he can't rap. We found that out last week.
All right.
But we want to try to make this somewhat entertaining instead of Mug just saying, I'm going to be near the food court, like he does every time we talk about him going to a mall.
Right.
At a Hot Topic store. So we're going to have him try to sing it as an opera singer this time.
As an opera?
Yeah.
Okay. So should I do tenor or baritone, Ralph? What do you think?
You're just going to get punched.
Okay, here we go.
168 Los Cerritos Center, Hot Topic is where I'll be. If you want tickets to Blackie's Arcade Fire, 311 in LA Galaxy.
Better than I thought, actually.
Not bad.
Not bad. Better than the rapping,
that's for sure.
He got very red in the face, and I thought he was going to die.
Yeah, he is about to die.
Well, that's what we're trying, at least. We're trying to find some way to make him blow out an aneurysm and just keel over.
Cerritos Center, Hot Topic location from 1 until 3 this afternoon. Look for Beer Mug and the K-Rock van there with all those tickets to give away. And don't forget, go to K-Rock.com for details on how you can win a 2014 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America, and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Stickers available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations.
Also, Bean should have had to sing that part, too.
Yeah, as opera.
Yeah.
Bean, can you sing opera?
I cannot.
All right. Comedian Bobby Lee will also be on the program tomorrow in another rousing rendition, even though Ralph and I don't follow, of Thanks for That Tweet, Bean. We force poor Chip to go through it and pull them, and we will highlight them tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.